Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Corolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. Fraudsters are sending messages through social media and emails with a Cash App scam. And the messages offer free money via the app to help during this difficult time. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our info at risk on the internet. You can miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit. You don't even know it's happening. But luckily, LifeLock is here. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. You have access to a dedicated restoration specialist to your case if you become a victim. You need LifeLock right now. Cybercrime is a serious issue. You guys are seeing it. Scams everywhere. Thank goodness for LifeLock. Right, Gio?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for Saturday, August 15th, 2020. We're back. My name's Chris Loxamon, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. With me, as always, Corolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
I never left. I've been in the basement this whole time.
That is completely true, but I'm back.
Corolla Digital has a basement. They don't tell you guys about it. Help!
Hey, Gio, we told you not to say anything. All right. You know how the show works. We're going to play some clips over the last 11-plus years of podcasting, and I'm excited. We got some really good ones. This first one is an awkward one. We'll get to it in a moment. First, I want to remind everybody that there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Now, earlier this week, we got some, in Brian's words, bad news and good news, but really it was just great news. Brian did
another prank, kind of, as a mini prank. The bad news was a prank.
Very reminiscent of the infamous April Fool's Day prank that he pulled on us a few years ago. Brian gave us a health update that was phenomenal. We were applauding in the engineering room.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know how excited everybody was because, like, they moved on and, like, I was like, oh, cool, but they're not, like, addressing it the way I want everybody to address it. Like, because I was freaking out. Like, I felt like my favorite team, like, I was a Sonics fan growing up, so, you know, no, they never won, but it felt like my favorite team won the championship, and I was like, oh, man, it's great. Or, like, I won the lottery, but not a lot, like $3,400 of, like, a scratch-off ticket, so, but it's still a win.
Yeah.
So, like, I was fist pumping. I was so excited. And then I was like, you know what? I got to do it. And I went to my email, and actually back in June when Brian first announced the gray spots or whatever, he was freaking out about the new medicine, and he was talking about the symptoms. I was like, this sounds exactly like what you described with Avastin, like you said, but, like, this medicine's, like, supercharged, so, like, it's, like, a smart version. I said, you know what? I'm not going to do any thoughts and prayers bullshit. The only thoughts and prayers I have for his four-year tumor because your original tumor's going bye-bye. And now it sounds like his original tumor's shrinking, and that's like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
So I resent him the email, and then he was so happy he even replied to me and said thank you. And he never replies the email, so that's like a huge feat. So
yeah,
we know Brian's over the moon.
Could not be happier. But, Gio, I think it's time that we bring Bald Brian back to Earth. We have a clip from 2010, and I love this. I totally remember when it happened. I was here, and it was something that Adam would bring up for years, whenever
noted.
You mentioned
Brian's
name, it was akin to Dawson.
Noted.
Yeah, Dawson putting the wrong cheese in his calzone. Or
yeah, well, that's a Kimmel. I mean, Adam didn't really note that one, but
yeah.
Kimmel
or,
certainly did.
Or not putting the toilet seat up, things like that. Like, there are certain things
the
that
parking lot phlegm.
Yeah, exactly. Or with me when I did the sweep or some stuff like that. This was one of Brian's. For years, Adam would always bring it up, and we have the clip.
Matt Fonlier doing his best. Was it Kalen double-checking?
Yes,
who
we all,
double check, triple check?
We all have them. And here's Brian's from 2010, right?
Yeah, indeed. This is a really funny clip. It's actually a listener request. You guys never play listener requests. We have like 100-plus requests on stack of things we haven't found yet or I haven't found. I am searching. They don't have a lot of lights in this basement. This episode is Adam Carolla Show 426, Nick Swardson, Brian Bishop, Susie McCopin filling in on news. This is post-Teresa, pre-Allison, when they're trying to figure everything out. This one's from October 13th and released the following day, October 14th of 2010. It starts out with an opening a little bit. Adam's not really pissed. People mistake this one. They think Adam's up more upset than he is. We'll let you listen. We'll talk about it when we come back. Adam Carolla Show, episode 426, Nick Swardson. You get a little bit of Swardson, a little bit of the news, and you get the opening uncomfortableness. And this is a listener request from Keith Dellinger. The Dellinger brothers, him and Ty, are two of the biggest Carolla fans out there. I love these dudes. They do love everything Adam does. They support everything Adam does. And this is his first of two requests today. Thank you, Keith.
Yeah, get it on. Thank you. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Good to see you, Bald Brian.
Laugh it up. It's going to get funny.
You brought your pup in with you tonight?
Correct.
Nice. What's your dog's name?
Charleston. Charlie for short.
Yeah. How long have you had her?
We rescued him, Adam. We rescued. He's been rescued by us.
You went in lower down from a Huey.
That's right.
Shoulder roll. Or you went in and got dog.
No, we ziplined in. You know what I'm saying?
Zipline.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, we dropped in a couple 6 months ago.
Ah, good. Cute dog. Filthy dog on my pillow on the filthy
floor.
Here's
the thing. You freaked out about the pillow.
But, no, I did not freak out.
No, you didn't freak out, but you did. You know what? You had Adam Carolla freak out, which is you better,
I'm interested in people's process. Susie McCoppin is here. She's been here before, done the show before. Good to see you, sweetie.
Good to be seen by you.
I just mean sometimes people come in here, oftentimes women, but on the occasionally we get a fella that comes in here, and they do the show, and they're guys... And gals especially that like to put their feet on the sofa, for instance. It's one of those things where they just they're wearing tennis shoes.
Rude.
And they literally sit in a way where they'll just put their feet like this. And I've seen people sit here, and at a certain point, it actually looked like they're trying to clean their shoes off on the sofa. And I thought, I would never go on to someone's, essentially walk around on someone's sofa with my feet. It feels weird to me.
And presumptuous.
And I pee in the sink, by the way. But it feels weird to me. And our floor here, the carpet here is akin to the carpet that's at the airport security at Burbank Airport. It's not in great shape.
True or false, this carpet's ever been cleaned?
Yes. Oh, this carpet has been cleaned.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, it's true, because Donnie and I had our biggest fight we've ever had in our lives.
I've cleaned it twice. I've cleaned this carpet.
You've cleaned it, or I've paid Gary to clean it?
Both. I've cleaned it once, and then the blowout was Gary cleaned it.
Would you like to discuss how that blowout unfurled?
No, not really.
All right, I'll tell. 3 months. I've been saying to Donnie, who has a home shampooer, carpet cleaner of thing.
The kind you rent from the store?
One of the ones you'd buy at IKEA or something. The kind you'd buy instead of rent.
Yeah.
But either way, it worked. And this place has been filthy ever since we worked on the hammer. Because the thing about independent film people, they claim to be sort of caring about other people, but not free workspaces. There was just food all over the place. And every time someone knocked over a cup of coffee or something, they'd dab it up with their shirt sleeve and then walk away. The place was disgusting. And I'd been saying to Donnie for about 3 months, hey, man, every other week, bring in that carpet shampooer. I'll get Gary to do the carpets up in here. And he'd go yeah, all right. And at a certain point when he stopped doing it, I'd start saying things like, hey, Donnie, do me a favor, put it by the front door. I'd be on the phone with him at home. Put it by the front door right now. So tomorrow morning when you come in, you don't forget it this time. And then he'd come in the next day and I'd be like, where's the carpet shampooer? And he'd just casually go, that's not here. And somewhere between 12 and 18 times, I announced to my assistant, Jay. I said, you know what, Jay? You know if it was a fucking mini bike part, he would not forget it. Just like my wife doesn't forget anything to do with Bruce Springsteen, but everything to do with everything else. So I said, if it had to do with a fucking taco mini bike, he would bring it in. You know that, Jay. I was saying to him that morning, I came in here about noon, and there's a huge mini bike part sitting on the table right here in the kitchen. Literally
cheeky.
Less than an hour after I said that to Jay. And then I said, Don, where did this mini bike part come from? And he said, brought it from home. And I said, at that point, it was it was almost meant to be. It was sort of cosmic alignment of whatever.
A fury.
And I said, Donnie, how many goddamn times are we going to? And I did the one I always do. You're in my warehouse for free. Can you fucking show me some dignity and bring the goddamn carpet cleaning thing in here? And at this point, Donnie does what all good chicks do. Yeah, fuck you. Hey, now he storms out to go get it, except for now I'm the bad guy. because I asked him to bring the carpet cleaning equipment 128 times. He ignored it every single time. But I was going to pay someone. I never said for you to do it. I was going to pay Gary to use it. And now you get to be pissed at me? How's that work?
What's with that?
Why? Because we were in the middle of construction. We were putting up the window, and there was drywall going
on.
We
were putting up the window?
This window. And you and your dollar, Gary, did that.
Thank you.
And at that point, I was operating completely on my own, staying up till 2, 3 in the morning.
How did you remember the mini bike part?
It came from eBay on UPS. So it was sitting at my front door. So it was a small box.
It's
like lugging a carpet cleaner and throwing it in the back of my car.
But Donnie, honestly, is it...
Besides that, I clean the warehouse constantly. Let's not get into the Lamborghini parts.
Let's not get into it. I know it's a joke. I know you're joking. By the way, Donnie has so much insane hubris that when I say to him, you know, your Mustang's been on top of my car lift
not anymore.
3 years now, he yells at me, your Lamborghini's parked in there and the bumper's all over, the parts are all over the place. And I go, my Lamborghini, you're coming back at me, and my Lamborghini is parked in my warehouse, and there's parts in a box that are slid under the back of the car. That's your comeback? My car's on my property?
Yeah, because
what else you got?
Moving your Lamborghini
what? Your kids are living in your house?
You really do speak for the common man.
True.
Listen, I'm just saying, Donnie, that's not what you call a comebacker. It's not like I'm going to go take a good hard look in the mirror after that. You know, the kid, when he's right, he's right. Touche, my friend. You've won this round.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, he flipped out and went home to go get the. He did the. Fine. You want your fucking carpet? And by the way, it's not my. I want to clean the carpets
argue
where
with the
you
king? Am
were.
I argue with what? The king?
No. So he goes. It's fine. And he storms out. And there's a part of me wanted to like run out in the parking lot and go like, all right, forget. And then there's part of me thought, well, I guess I'll be getting my carpet cleaning machine in here. So let's not interrupt this angry process. And then he drove angry in a Mini, which I don't recommend anyone doing. It doesn't look right when you have a little daisy in your flower holder and you're driving
wheels
angry.
Burning out, getting squirrely.
Yeah. Drove home, got it, and came back. All right. Susie has the news. Nick Swartzen's coming in as well. Hey, Susie.
Sir.
Let's do some news,
baby girl.
Live from the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bikes, this is the news. With Susie McCompin.
Anyway, by the way, Ball Brian took one of the pillows off our sofa, put it on our filthy floor, and his dog is now scratching itself on top of it.
You did say semi-passive-aggressively, I want to know what people think. You want to know what I was thinking?
Mm.
The pillow had been cast aside to the end of the couch for quite some months now, and it was underneath another pillow, and it was a mismatched pillow. So in my mind, this is an extra pillow. This is a pillow that people don't use.
Superfluous.
Yeah. So I thought, this dog needs someplace soft to sit on, and...
There's a picture of Dawson cleaning up his dog shit from our floor. Well, can I say this about people's dogs?
If I was wrong, I apologize.
No,
it seemed
to
me to be an extra pillow.
I'm not offended. I'm just confused, and it gives me a little insight.
Well, that's
all.
Why. That's
seemed
to me to be extra.
People bring their dogs on airplanes. I was sitting at a restaurant. Donnie and I were sitting at a restaurant yesterday. Someone next to a table next to us was sitting with their dog on their lap. I used to have a makeup artist at MTV that would hold a dog while she applied makeup. And I'm not allergic to dogs or anything. I just thought to myself, hey, bitch, leave the fucking dog at home. You're doing a job. I'm not allergic to dogs, but some people might be. It's weird that we have this thing where we're fucking nuts about like secondhand smoke, and we're crazy about peanuts and allergies and mold and all this kind of shit, but somehow dogs, and I guarantee there's more people that are allergic to dog dander, they fly on airplanes where all the fucking air is just recirculated. How does that work? And I know people like their dogs. I like my dog too, but I leave it the fuck at home when I go out on the road.
Well, here's the thing. You know, my wife had
that
a job interview.
He's adorable.
Today, and I was asking about the pros and cons of the job. It was the office like? It was the boss like? And, you know, pros and cons, this and that. She goes, oh, good news. They're dog friendly. There's dogs all over the office. I think that's
that
a cool thing. I think it's a cool thing for people to have at work.
It's awesome,
dog in here 75% of the time.
I know, and his dog just runs over people and licks their balls and jumps up on stuff and craps on the floor. And then they always talk to their dog. He talks to his dog as if his dog is trained. His dog's as trained as the dog is on The Simpsons. Christmas or Snowball. Yeah.
No, that's the cat.
Oh, no.
Santa's Little Helper.
Yeah, it just runs around, knocks things over. And then Dawson says in a surprised tone, what's his name? Fucking
Boo.
Boo. Boo? Like, Boo, this is not the Boo I know. Really? That's the only Boo I'm aware of. when it knocks shit over. I'm just, I like dogs. But it's weird. It's weird that people taking a pillow off someone's sofa, putting it on the floor, and then putting your dog on it is weird.
It seemed extra. I'll wash the pillow.
You don't have to.
I
only care about
this.
The content. Listen, I pee in the sink and eat shit off the floor. I don't give a shit myself. I don't think I would do that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's consistent with people putting their feet on your
couch. Where do you come down with people putting their feet
because you
on
engender
the couch?
A climate of just
casualness.
Yes.
You should take it as a compliment. Yeah, does the guest feel so comfortable here?
Well, but clearly they're wrong.
But could you imagine walking off the street, in our case, a semi-filthy parking lot, coming into someone's home and literally walking around on top of their sofa? No one would ever do
that's
peculiar. Right?
No. Peculiar.
But when Sarah Silverman, or she's just one of those chicks who sits that way,
I can see that,
sits with her sort of knees bunched up against her chest, and she has both her keds flat down on top of the sofa, that's just sort of wiping your feet off on the sofa.
Essentially.
All right, I don't want to sound like a super gay Tony Randall or something. It just
too
seems
late.
Weird to me.
But you're wearing sweatpants, so again.
I'm a slob. To me, it's not the slobbery part. It's
the
entitlement part.
Yes.
That's the part that feels weird to
I'm
me.
With you.
I would happily pee in people's sinks, but I don't come out and announce
people's?
It. People's? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Yes, I shall.
Just because
of lack of
motivation for walking the extra 2 feet to the toilet, or was the toilet occupied, or what
habit,
was the backstory?
Convenience, what have you. Okay. Sometimes I like to look myself in the mirror and pose down while I'm urinating, but I don't come out and announce it.
I would strike convenience out of your argument, by the way, because that is by no means more convenient.
Oh, yes, absolute time saver.
That's crazy.
You want to know why I get so much done? How many Lamborghinis do you have again, son?
You know what? You give me a lot to think about.
Yeah.
I just had a vision. You have a whole line of like success speeches, you know, like motivational speeches,
right.
All based around the idea, the germ of the idea.
Right.
Peeing in the sink.
Time shaver. And literally a shaver because I shave while I'm peeing in the sink.
You'd be like Tom Wu.
Yeah.
You want to get this yacht? Stop peeing in the sink.
Tom Wu. Oh, God, do I miss Tom Wu. You're a coward. You can't make money because you're round-eyed. You're a pussy. I come over here in coffee can from Vietnam with 14 brothers and sisters. I work washing dishes.
Now
I have yacht, bitch. I have Lamborghini Gallardo and Murcielago, bitch. And I live in big home with lots of bitches with boob jobs who sit on the deck of my cigarette boat.
Tom Vu would shame you.
I think Tom Vu was an inspirational, like these guys from the 90s.
He was not inspirational.
He inspired me to laugh. No, these guys used to do these infomercials that came on in like the early 90s where it's like, hey, you sitting around, you make money. This guy was, I think it was Vietnamese.
Yeah,
he had this
maybe.
Crazy broken accent, and he would basically call you a coward. Like when they challenge you to buy real estate with no money down and make money. But he would also show you the spoils of his riches.
He would give you a speech from his yacht.
He would do it from the yacht.
Oh, yeah, know,
and
he'd have hot
chicks dancing around on the deck of the yacht. I think he went to prison, by the way. He must
that
have violated some RICO act or something. And he's now in the joint. Anyway, Susie.
Yo.
Sorry. The
Don't
news.
Be.
The news, baby.
Big news. Behold the shiny brilliance of GQ's 2010 Bald Top 100.
Mm.
That is...
Fingers crossed.
Yes. The most powerful men who are follicularly challenged. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So, do you want to guess? I have about like maybe 30 people here.
The commish?
Michael Chiklis?
I don't know. No. He's,
I'm out.
Yeah, you're
this
out.
Is, this,
you're fired.
This,
I'm out. That's all I got.
Not just actors,
it's either
dude.
Brian or the commish. That's all I got. Shaq. That's all I got.
Is Ross Perot?
You can't count black guys here because they shave their head.
Yeah, that's will. Yeah, exactly.
Michael Jordan's definitely
voluntary.
Top 10.
There you go. Nice. All right,
Jordan,
he's up there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a crazy time we're living in, Brian. I know I tell you this all the time, but I'm telling you there was a time called the 70s and 80s where if you shaved your head, you were like a fucking your Bond villain or something. Like it was insane. And now you turn on these shows, like you do, you know, these NFL shows, these weekend shows, and there's like three bald guys all sitting there, one black guy and two white, you know, Trent Dilfer and whatever. And everyone's just bald, Hasselbeck sitting there. Yeah. Everyone's just bald. It's like, that was insane. You would have to grow it out, even if you could just grow it on the sides back in the day. It was a horrific look.
It's a horrible rule.
Yeah. No, it really was. You had to. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
you looked like the guy from Rocky Horror Picture Show. I don't know, Knick Knack or whatever his name was.
Who, me?
All right, who do we have?
We got Larry David. He's real. Yeah, all right. Okay, all right. He's got more money than me. Charles Barkley. That's number one.
Charles Barkley?
Yeah.
As number one,
he's
on
the most powerful bald man.
I don't know if he's the most.
In terms
I don't know
of
if
rebounding.
This is, yeah, I don't.
Not in order.
I don't know if it's in order.
What's Park? Is it how much money you make? How much pussy you get? What's
I
the
think
deal?
It's how much pussy you get. Yeah, I think
how many
that
guys
that's
can
sign.
Throw through a window?
Yeah, Barkley pulled a fatty Arbuckle, ironically, shoved someone through a window once. All right, who else? Anyone surprising on there?
Sean Connery. There you go, Bond villain. Well, he's Bond.
Any females okay. undergoing chemo treatment that they could cruelly toss on there?
Doesn't seem to be. Doesn't seem to be.
Mm-hmm. Sean Connery. What's up with him? Is he done making movies?
Yeah, I think he's out.
Mm. You think he's coming back, Bald Brian? He's got to be 80, right?
He's got an Oscar. He's got tons of Bond money, so he makes movies at his own pace, which is to say, rarely.
I like him because whenever he opens his mouth, he says something about cracking a woman. I enjoy it.
He's old school.
Yeah, him and Deacon Jones. I could listen to them wax on about how to treat a lady, many, forever. Deacon Jones. You could look it up.
They replayed that, by the way. The thing you're about to tease. They replayed that on NFL Network. That still gets run.
It's the greatest. They do this thing. Deacon Jones, all pro defensive end for the Los Angeles Rams, and they had this sit down interview with him in like, it looked like mid-70s. It could have been a couple years after he retired. It could have been in a later part of his career. But it looked like, I don't know, 74 or something. And he was just sitting there. And I guess there was this time, and you guys aren't old enough, but every time, the 70s were a fucking horrific time filled with retarded hippies who should all be thrown in a fucking ditch and burned right now. But every time you'd go like, well, look, you know, I would follow the president. I mean, you know, if you go like, you go, even, you know, the president 20 years from now, if he said we're going to raise tax, and then some bitch in the 70s would always go, if he, don't you mean he or she? Like, there's all that kind of stuff. Or if you went, well, if the airplane pilot, you know, if he told us to put our air, you mean he or she? There's all this bullshit equality going on. Turns out guys are better. But either way, there's all this bullshit equality. So every time you fucking said something, you'd have some cunt to your left correcting you, you know, so you couldn't go he anymore. Yeah. You'd have to go he or she. So maybe he got caught up in that. But possibly. Deacon Jones are asking, like, how did you get to the quarterback so fast? How did you whip the weak side offensive tackle? And he went, well, I found out when you go upside a man's head, or woman. And he literally took a pause. He said, oh, woman. And they go, for a moment, they're disoriented. And that is what enabled you to get by them, I guess, get out the front door in certain instances. And in others, you could get to the quarterback. But either way, either you're getting to your car or Bart Starr. But either way, it disorients them when you literally give them a head slap.
Yeah, yeah,
He invented the head slap, and they've now outlawed it. But Deacon Jones used to go upside and just sitting there with those bloodshot eyes. Oh, woman.
Explaining that shot very carefully.
Oh, woman.
I love that his heart was in the right place.
I love the idea that they just play that on the NFL Network, by the way. All right.
He's trying to be gender inclusive.
All right. Well, maybe we'll find it. All right. Sorry, Susie. Where are we?
Okay. We're listing the most powerful bald men in America, which I think is proving to be not that exciting. I mean,
I'm now going to add Deacon Jones to that
list. Okay, good. He should be on there. Michael Stipe,
woman.
But again, very unusual choice,
him.
Right?
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, Mike Tyson, I can see maybe 20 years ago.
Mike Tyson?
Poor Hogan.
Yeah.
He's got hurt.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Moving on?
About the fifth time I say, all right.
All right.
It usually means moving on. That's my code for moving on.
Good to know.
Right.
We'll Thanks for the heads up.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Mm. Yesterday, more news? Is that what's happening? All right, good. All right, yesterday, that's Tuesday, officials said a ban blocked the 101 freeway in Hollywood in the morning for an impromptu concert that jammed traffic and tested the patience of commuters.
I heard about this.
Yeah, this was big for people that are in the immediate area. And this was a hardcore hip-hop band out of Orange County, which to me seems counterintuitive.
Black.
I don't know if they're black. I don't know.
Oh, all right. Well, the whole thing is when someone's blocking traffic here in Los Angeles, right. If they're white, you can pepper spray them and drag them away because you don't have an incident.
But if a bunch of
Mexicans chain themselves together and lay down on La Brea, then they fucking clog up the whole fucking city for 3 hours. And why don't we just fucking empower cops just to pick people up and drag them off or pepper spray them or throw them in a fucking squad car?
That's what I think.
Drives me nuts.
Well, I had a similar incident years ago. I was in a movie. Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go. And in order to get some publicity, we staged like a PETA kind of protest on Hollywood Boulevard. And everyone got naked. And then,
really?
Yeah, and we stood on top of a bus. It was very similar.
Mm.
And I know I lost you until I said naked. You're
Schindler's
like, shut
List.
Up, bitch.
Oh.
I think it was E.T. the sequel, but yeah. It never took off.
What movie? I'd like to check it out.
That's actually the score. That is the score from our movie. It was called The Games People Play.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but and we all got thrown
in the
slammer.
And it was like a low-budget
atrocity.
Let's play some games.
So you're going to get, they said, so the producer said, you know what we should do? What year is this, approximately?
This is like 2000.
2000. Said, we're going to get all these hot chicks.
No, it was three guys and three girls.
Uh-huh. And we're going to get them onto, did you say Sunset or Hollywood?
On Hollywood.
On Hollywood Boulevard, right in between where? Right in the middle of things?
Right in the, you know, right in the Walk of Fame.
Right in the Walk of Fame. And we're going to get you on, what are we going to do? Get you naked?
We're naked. We're spray painted, though.
Ah.
So it took a second for the nudity to kind of occur to the crowd, and that's when all hell broke loose.
Now, totally naked.
Totally naked.
Now, if you're going to get spray painted, how about you put on some panties?
I would have voted for that, but I was not in charge.
Just go totally naked.
Yeah.
Really?
Wasn't my idea.
And they spray
paint
you.
But it gets a little weirder. Shall I proceed?
They airbrush you and you got on the roof of a bus?
And now we're on the roof of a bus and we're holding rabbits.
Rabbits.
It keeps getting weirder.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And
because it was a faux PETA protest. That was kind of the...
You know, now what color did they paint you?
Black.
Oh, so the guy said black schwanzes?
Yeah, that was the look. Right, exactly.
See, when I get my cock painted,
right.
I tell them to go with vertical stripes. It's slimming,
yeah,
but it makes it look longer.
Good call.
You know what I mean?
Call.
The horizontal stuff makes it look, you know,
yeah,
like
well,
a can
wouldn't
of corn.
You want to go that way? I think you might want to go that
you
way.
You know what?
Depends on your crowd that you're trying to appeal
right,
to.
Right. You got a girth crowd out there, you got a length crowd
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, you
got
to do a pull before so they, you, yeah.
They paint, they got to do a pull.
Yeah, pull.
So they paint, so you get totally naked.
Right.
They spray paint you.
Right. And I didn't want to bust out this detail, but you were so disinterested in the story that I knew I was going to have to get naked in some capacity.
Sure. Nice. and then they give you rabbits.
And then they give us rabbits, which just seems reasonable.
And you go up to the roof of the bus.
Correct.
And
we're holding the rabbits.
Wow, somebody hop on the internet or something. Find me a picture. And then in the movie...
The games people play, I think it's Hollywood, somebody...
Did it make money? Any money, the movie?
No, it made no money. It was never released, but it was a major ordeal. There were helicopters. It was like the OJ... It was like...
I remember when we were trying to get my movie, The Hammer, into theaters, at a certain point, Eden Wormfeld, our producer, just pulled me aside and said, paint your cock, Carolla. We're going viral. Yeah. Yeah. Little indie gal from...
I saw The Hammer. I love The Hammer.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, but yeah, evidently not. If I'd painted my cock, we would have had more eyeballs on that thing.
You should hire me as your publicist.
We could find that movie if we went online or something.
If you were so inclined.
Not you. Are you naked in the movie?
I'm naked in... Yes, I am.
Yeah, you'd have to be naked in the movie. Otherwise, the producers would be pretty ballsy to go up, hey, how about you get nude and get on this bus?
Right.
Now, what happened? Did you get arrested?
We got arrested. Cuffed.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Spent the night in Gen Pop.
And in general population?
General population.
And what do? They put a coat over you or
something?
They
did. Yeah, they had these, you know, we kind of looked like, it was like Scrubs kind of.
Mm-hmm. No, I know in Gen Pop, but when they're actually arresting you, do they have like female officers arrest you? Do they cover you up?
Well, we were sort of covered, you know, with the black paint, but no, we got into the cop car.
We just pure black paint straight?
No, it was sort of like it simulated a bikini, if you will.
Oh,
I think
you will. Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I could dig that.
That's news.
And again, no hesitation when the producer said, "How about you get naked and spray on a bikini and go get arrested?"
No,
I'd want a bump for that. I mean, you're going to get arrested. You spent the night in prison.
No, I loved it. It was very exhilarating.
Liberating?
It was very liberating. Yeah. Really? But then incredibly anticlimactic because nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. And then the movie came out the next day?
No, it never came out.
Okay. Well, let's do one more quickie, and then bring a...
I just found the Deacon Jones audio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. This is Deacon Jones. I don't know from what...
Someone recorded off TV and put it on YouTube, so the audio quality is a little iffy, but you get... I mean, you can hear it clearly.
All right.
To give myself an initial head start on the pass rush. In other words, an extra step. Because anytime you go upside a man's head or a woman, then they have a tendency to blink their eyes or close their eyes, and that was all I needed.
He's talking about football. Like, he's not talking about, hey, what's the game of life? It's like, it's pretty much just, how do you do it? And he goes, I can get an extra step on the tackle if I go upside a man's head or a woman. But since there's no women playing in the NFL, it's really it's insane that he wove it into the description.
That's what happens when you're under pressure to be that politically correct.
Or a woman. And by the way, let me just say this. He didn't say, you know, humans blink when you hit them. He said, anytime meaning he's gone upside a bitch's head just a couple times. He's definitely done the swim move on a bitch or two.
Well, she probably didn't do her chores.
Yeah. No, she was asking for it. No doubt about that.
No question.
All right. Quickly. Last one. We'll bring Nick in.
Okay. This will bring us to Olympia, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
A nice young man was interested in becoming a state trooper. He was undergoing the process.
Oh, I thought that was a civil rights leader. Olympia, Washington. Doesn't sound like turn of the
century. Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
Yeah.
No. Frederick Douglass' cousin.
First wife.
Yeah, right, yeah, he went upside her head.
Totally. She had it coming.
Yeah.
Shall I continue?
Whenever you hear this.
Yes, that's when I know. That is when I know.
Okay. Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington.
We get our code worked out. This.
Means fire.
Means continue.
Okay.
All and, right. All right. Nah.
Also means.
Nah.
All right. I know. Yeah, now I'm disoriented.
That's all right.
I feel like I've been hit up
next
by the
story.
Head.
Next story.
Okay.
You're doing good.
Thanks, buddy. So are you.
Thanks, man.
Olympia, Washington.
Hmm.
Okay.
Hmm.
This guy's trying to be a state trooper.
Mm-hmm.
He's undergoing the whole process. He has to come in for like the last thing, which is he has to do a lie detector test, right? So he's in there. He's getting the lie detector test. One of the other cops comes out, and they kind of breeze past his car, and they notice on the seat, on the passenger seat, there's a book that says how to beat a lie detector test.
Wow.
Which I think is, you know, preparing, thinking of head ahead. And so anyway, so he kiboshed the deal, obviously. Mm-hmm. I was shocked, said Heather Anderson. And who wouldn't be?
Well, I mean, here's the problem with the lie detector.
What?
On trying to be a cop. Every guy who here's the deal. The guys who want to be cops, these guys were sort of usually the guys that were on the football team, not great students, not good enough to go to the next level with sports. They're sort of just the jughead guys from your high school. And I know I speak ill of the cops all the time, but for a reason. There's motivation for people to get into. Like when somebody says, I want to be an attorney, there's a good chance that guy's a douche. And when someone says, I'd like to be a meter maid, there's 1,000% chance that guy's a douche.
Very high chance.
A guy says, I want to be a publicist, there's a 2,000,000% chance that guy's a douche.
I'm with you.
And when someone says, I want to be a cop, that they're kind of saying is I wouldn't mind macing somebody or roughing them up. It's uncomfortable. Like, you think about us, like a cop, like I wouldn't want to pull people over. I wouldn't want to give them a ticket. It would ruin my day to ruin everyone else's day. Times 25 a day or 30 a day. Yeah. I mean, fuck, we were driving back from Orange County today and we passed a whole bunch of CHP guys just standing there along the freeway holding guns. Holding radar guns at people that, you know, were doing 8 miles an hour past the speed limit when it's completely safe. So if you're the kind of dick who'd like to do that for a living, well, I'll bet there's a couple skeletons in your closet.
I bet
you were not a wallflower in high school. I bet you did a little partying. I bet you've ripped a couple of bong loads. I bet you've gotten in a couple scraps. I'll bet you you had a little history. Now, not a horrible history, but the kind
colorful.
Of history that would make you feel weird if someone was giving a lie detector test and want to know if you'd ever tried an illegal drug. Because the answer has to be yes.
Yeah.
So then you freak out. Then you get this book. Then you're stupid enough to leave it on the bench of your seat, a bench of your truck seat, and then they find it.
But who would think that a cop would come out and look in the car? Like, I can kind of see his point.
Yeah, I don't know. Did they go out to search the car, or were they just going to lunch and look through the window?
I think they were going to lunch. That's what it sounds like to me.
All right. Well, either way, we don't need him as one of Olympia's finest.
Certainly not.
All right.
They did us a favor.
Now, stifle yourself, baby, but keep warm, because we're going to finish the news.
Good.
We're just going to interrupt it with Nick's work.
There's more news with Susie McCobbin coming up.
Good to see you, Nick.
Hi.
Nick... exploding all over the place these days.
Nick, on the carpet.
Nick's got a new show on Comedy Central Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock. Seen a couple of the spots for this also. I was at the Comedy Central building the other day and saw a bunch of your posters up in the hallway and elevators and all that kind of stuff. Good to see you, Nick.
Thanks, dude. Good to see you, man.
Nick, I'm trying to think what Nick is. Nick's done a whole bunch of roles and a whole bunch of films that you've all seen a million times. I'm guessing.
Yeah, ours just pop up and like weird shit. Just, there'll be a movie happening and then I'll fucking dance around like a fucking gay guy or
Schindler's List.
I don't know, some shit.
Yeah, I mean, Benchwarmers, Blades of Glory. I think like Blades of Glory, people definitely know you from. And
yeah,
Grandma's
Stalker.
Boy.
Yeah, Grandma's Boy is a big one.
And how does that work? How does the whole Adam Sandler thing work? Because I've seen you over at the compound over on the Sony lot a few times. There's a little empire over there.
Yeah, my favorite part is Adam's got offices on the Sony lot, and my favorite part of it is that it's the Judy Garland building.
Really?
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So there's like a big picture of Judy Garland.
That's his. You mean the place with the wooden floors?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's the place.
Yeah,
it's really, it's like a kind of a cool old house. It's got a great vibe.
Yeah,
in there, and then there's like Sandler. But how does it work? Was Sandler does Sandler movies and then puts his compadres in those movies oftentimes, and then and then other times. He just produces the movie, and you guys star in them?
Yeah, like a movie like Benchwarmers, he called me up, and he was like, hey, I got this idea for a movie. You know, you want to write it? And then, you know, me and this other guy, Alan Covert, who wrote Grandma's Boy with me, we wrote it up, and then, you know, he called up Spade and Schneider, and, you know, then they talked to John Heder, Napoleon Dynamite. And, I mean, yeah, just like, Adam's just so psychotically creative. He just sits around and just he'll just call randomly with like ideas, just feel like
in
I got an idea for a movie, want to write it?
I don't want to nitpick, but they should have walked Rob Schneider intentionally.
Yeah,
they should have put him on because you see Heder and Schwarzen weren't Heder and David Spade weren't able to play ball, but Schneider was a ringer.
Yeah,
but I would have put him on. I would have walked him. Maybe I'm overthinking this whole thing.
No, no.
They could have walked him intentionally and then got back to Heater again and won every game. That's all I'm saying.
No, I know.
Sandler didn't bring that up?
No. We just
disappointed. No. So you were just, I was trying to send Nick a script, and Nick was in Canada shooting, I'm guessing, a movie.
I was in Michigan, right?
Michigan, sorry.
I was shooting a movie. And
what movie is that?
It's called 30 Minutes or Less. It's the guy who did director.
Oh, I read that script.
The director of Zombieland, did you?
It's a great script. Yeah,
it was me and Jesse Eisenberg from Social Network and Danny McBride.
Wow.
And Aziz Ansari.
Jesus. Mm. That's a nice. I saw Social Network and
it was incredible.
Eisenberg might be nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah,
there,
he was
right?
Fucking unreal. I mean, you know, I've seen him in a lot of other stuff, you know, Adventureland and Zombieland, but. Yeah, he did such an amazing take on it. I mean, yeah, it was such a subtle performance.
So you got those guys, and you have the director of Zombieland?
Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty good pairing.
It's cool, man. Yeah, it's like a dark action comedy, and Danny McBride's fucking just a genius, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just such an Eastbound and Down fan, and that dude just, he was incredible in the movie. I mean, there was like, it's kind of dark moments, so there's like moments where he had to cry, and moments where like, there was like some intense shit, and he just was like really on point.
When's that coming out?
That's coming out next summer.
And so let's talk Comedy Central for a second. Tell us about this. It's a sketch show, right?
But it's
all,
a sketch
all you,
show.
Basically?
It's, it's a sketch show, but it's different than like Chappelle or Dimitri, where there's no live crowd. I don't walk out and talk to people. You know, I like, there's a little thing. But, they just segue into each other. So the sketches just keep going. It's fucking weird as shit, and it's pretty filthy.
And how many do you have in the can?
We did 7.
You did 7? They're all done?
Yeah, they're all done. So, yeah, it's Tuesday nights, and, it's good. It grows into itself. I mean, like, it starts off a little, you know, it's hard as shit to make a sketch show, so.
Tell me about it. I know.
It's kind of horrifying.
It's hard. I tell
really
people,
hard.
I mean, this is filmed, but, you know, when people complain about, like, SNL, I always tell them, you don't know how fucking hard it is to do sketches every week, and you're not going to hit home runs times 11 sketches week in and week out.
Yeah, no, it's hard, and especially because so much has been done. I mean, there's so much content. I mean, so many shows, and, Yeah, it's hard as shit. People are really quick to be like, yeah, fucking lame. It's like, well, fucking Jesus
I
Christ.
Didn't, I didn't know you were in the room, Donnie. He was just showing me something on YouTube. You snuck up on me. I didn't say lame. I said gay. But either way, I know what you're saying, and I apologize.
That's fine. No, it's fine. Totally understandable.
All right, should we try a little what can Adam complain about? Is that what we're doing now?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you guys can jump in.
By the way, I met Deacon Jones.
You did?
Yeah, once.
Where?
He did
bitch slapping convention.
Yeah, it was a fucking cock rodeo. No,
where'd you meet Deacon?
I met
the Minister of Defense, I think. Oh no, yeah. Reggie White was the Minister of Defense. Oh, the Deacon.
Deacon was
Deacon. It was something.
The Deacon.
Yeah, it was something. Well, by the way, do you need a nickname when your name's Deacon Jones?
No, it's such a badass name.
So where'd you meet
Although
him?
The Minister of Defense is pretty badass for.
That's pretty good. That was Reggie White because he was very religious.
Thought Deacon was the first Minister of Defense.
Maybe he was, and then Reggie White was the second. And it's really great to be deeply religious and a 330-pound black man because whenever someone asks you a question, it goes like, Reggie, 2 years ago you said you'd never play football again. Now you're back playing with the Packers. Why? And he'd be like, God told me to. Okay, no more questions. Like, there's really nothing. There's no follow-up to it. Did he say anything else? Did my name come up? There's nothing. It's just God told him to, and everyone just walks away.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So where'd you meet Deacon?
I met him through Jay Moore.
Sure.
He did an episode of Jay Moore. Do you remember he used to have that Moore Sports?
Yeah.
It was a show on ESPN.
Right.
It was actually a really good show. And he had Deacon Jones as one of his first guests.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty fucking intense.
And he said,
he was very nice.
Nick, we know you're a huge Deacon Jones fan. You want to come on out and meet him?
He's just like, Nick, this is Deacon. And he's just like, hello, Nick. And I was just like, oh my God. He like he crushed my hand.
He has
and
crazy
fucking
bloodshot eyes, Deacon.
Yeah,
Jones.
No, he does.
He looks like he's fucking angry. He looks like an angry dad.
He looks like he fucking ate Jamaica. Like his eyes
just
are
like
so
crazy
red.
Crazy
like,
black.
I don't even know it's possible.
And he just talks shit. Like he's like 70 years old and he's like, I'm better than all these fags at playing the league. With their stupid rules and their pads. We didn't have rules and pads. We go upside a man or a woman. It's scary. I think he went to somebody. I don't know, went to like Mississippi Valley State or something. He went to some shitty little school. And
God, that guy looks scary.
Scared everyone.
And that request from Keith Dellinger on Twitter. If you want to request a clip, you can tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio or at Chris Loxamana. Email us classics at adamcarolla.com or we're on Instagram, Facebook, wherever. Now, Gio, you mentioned that clip, Adam wasn't necessarily mad. He wasn't angry. I'll agree with you. He wasn't angry. But
well, Brian started to dig a little bit of a hole, so that's what you hear evolve in the clip. At first, he's like, no, I'm just asking you why you did that. And then the dog's like really digging into it. But at first, Adam did that thing he did. He says he goes on airports and airplanes now. He's like, oh, let me hear about your dog. She's like, hey, Brian, you got a new puppy. Oh, yeah, when'd you get it? So he's like super friendly at first. And then he's like, oh, so you took a pillow off my couch and put it on the floor. And he's like, he's totally set him up for a, because Brian's like, oh, it's a rescue. And like he was having fun with it. And then Adam's like, Adam has a completely different goal in mind. It's so funny to hear him like almost like a predator reaching for the prey, like a Discovery Channel special.
Right. I remember when all this quarantine business started happening, I had to go to Brian's house to set up his studio with sound effects and everything. And
good
I saw,
job.
And I saw Charlie there, and his dog, and all I could think about was, man, the great pillow debacle of 2010. Here we
but
are
the funniest
again.
Part was that then Donnie got involved in this part, and it was about the mini bike, and then Adam started yelling at him instead of Brian, and that's my favorite part when you get the transitive yell, and then he came back to Brian. It's great. And yeah. Then Donnie was trying to defend himself, running off and being upset about Adam having his own Lamborghini parts at his own warehouse.
Thank you, Keith, for requesting that. Also want to thank Madison Reed Mister for sponsoring this podcast. All right, guys, if you're working from home, you're staring at your coworker's gray hair on video calls, or maybe you're just staring at the reflection of your own hair, thinking about coloring it, you're not alone. It'd be a good idea. And if you want to do it, Madison Reed Mister is what you want to use. It has a gray blending natural color for your hair and your beard. All right, there are before and after shots. Mr. Carolla himself uses it. So why don't you check out pictures and videos of him on his YouTube. And he looks awesome. It's not that gross shoe polish look. It looks natural, and that's what you want. You don't want anybody questioning, did he dye his hair? I don't know. You don't want that. What you want is just someone thinking, man, that dude looks good. And that is where Madison Reed Mister comes in. It's quick, it's easy. You just apply the color gel to your dry hair, then an activator. You wait 10 minutes, you rinse, you shampoo. Bada bing, bada boom, you're done. Plus, they deliver right to your door. All right, so all you got to do is go to MadisonReedMr.com. That's MadisonReedMr.com. Use the code Corolla for 10% off, plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla. All right, Gio.
I'm telling Adam you're giving out his beauty secrets. I'm going to leverage it for a higher position within the company. I'm going to push you out.
Human knowledge belongs to the world, Gio. All right, let's get going with the next clip. It's another request from listener Keith.
He was drunk and watching Drunk History. He would like to humbly request when Derek Waters was on the Adam Carolla Show for Classics. We played when he was on in 2015. We haven't played when he was on 2018, so we're playing that. Adam Carolla Show 2242. This is from January of 2018. It's Derek Waters. RJ Bell is on it, not in this portion. We got Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. Check it out.
Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Hi, Daddy.
Derek Waters is our guest.
Hi, hi, hi.
Drunk History, fifth season. Fifth. Tuesday, January 23rd, 10 p.m. on Comedy Central. People love the show. They're getting all... You're now at the point where it's nice where you get the big names who want to come in there and do it. At first, you started with, you know, your Dr. Drews of the world.
Bottom of the barrel.
Seth Rogen's.
34 seconds before Dr. Drew Jim. I love it.
I want to thank Simply Safe for sponsoring this half of the show. Go there at simplysafe.com/Adam. Get 24/7 protection or only $15 a month. Always great to see you, Derek. So we have, we're going to do some drunk walking, right? That's what we're calling it. That's where we have to sort of guess if the drunk guy has the answer or not.
I think they're like history questions, too.
Which yes. Yes. Theme, it's an homage.
Yeah. Oh, very nice.
It shows a little something called preparation and gumption, something your dad would have liked and
he
probably mentioned many times.
Yes, he would have.
We're talking off the air about swearing, and we were talking about whether it was good or bad or funny or whatever. I've always found, as a guy who've done like, you know, podcasts and then done like Dancing with the Stars, mm-hmm. and all sorts of terrestrial radio and all sorts of cable TV versus being on Bill O'Reilly's show versus being on late night shows mm-hmm. or whatever, that you have to adjust for every single format. And that's why it always bothered me when I did a show and they'd go, the Dancing with Stars people would always be like, you know, this is prime, like this is network, you, this is like, I know I what they it. Were saying, yeah. but you do that your whole career. You do it every day in life. When you think about your friends sure. you're talking to versus your mom's friends.
Exactly. Like,
right?
Yeah, you talk differently around people you know or when you know people can, other people can hear you.
And you try to kind of get it to the level of where you'd like it to be, but not go past yeah. that level. It's different in front of your in-laws.
I was
going to
say,
is.
Meeting your girlfriend's parents, boyfriend's parents, you know, it's a different situation.
But with those yes. stories, you're either funny or you're not, you know.
I'd always thought it was like a greater challenge to try too. To be clean and funny.
Yeah, I grew up loving Sinbad, and I don't know if it was because he didn't swear and that's all I was allowed to watch.
It was the Windbreakers.
But I genuinely liked
Hold
Sinbad.
On. Sinbad yeah. was known for wearing snowmobile yeah. apparel. Mm-hmm. Like Matching he Parkers. Literally he had a like a bib overall down onesie. I saw him do a stand special in like a blue or purple. Like, I mean, it's stuff you'd use if you're a professional snowmobile
oh, yeah.
rider.
Like
this, not if it was just a weekend thing, but like a full time
right.
yeah.
life.
Your whole life. Yeah.
What is, let me ask you this. It's a controversial question, but, you know, you see Sinbad back in the day. Mm-hmm. You fast forward to a lot of the,
Yeah, look
a
at
lot
that
of the ra-
That's more of a street smart, street clothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nighttime Sinbad.
Yeah,
that's going out.
Yeah, that's formal wear.
I've seen a lot of brothers, a lot of rap artists and stuff on SNL, for instance, out there wearing a lot of layers, you know, Timberland boots, a lot of multi-parkas,
yeah.
pointing at seeing, mm-hmm. you know, in a pretty controlled environment in terms of temperature.
yes.
Climate.
That feels like a weird fashion trend to dress like you're doing the Iditarod, except for you're indoors and you're under the lights. Like, it just feels like it's a weird trend. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it used to be very starter jackets that you'd wear the starter jacket everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that became, I think, cool to be like, temperature doesn't bother me.
Oh, maybe that's what you're saying.
I was not I can raise this. And lower my core temperature at will.
Yeah, you may be cold, but I'm warm.
Okay.
I feel like there's, let's see, there was P. Diddy, and then who's the guy who wrote the song where he gets to go, yeah, and the poor ginger guy has to do all the heavy lifting.
We watched it on, it was from SNL.
Was it? Are you thinking of the Wiz Khalifa song?
Yeah.
Oh, Wiz Khalifa from Fast and Furious.
I feel like he was pretty layered up, too. I can tell you, this studio
is cold in New York.
Yeah, but they're in a studio. Hey, I don't know. Have you ever done Letterman?
I like that you thought about it. That was nice.
Well, no, I didn't want to assume that you didn't. But then I didn't want to assume that you did.
No, I wish I did. But no.
I got to tell you, as a guy who's a sweater, mm-hmm. everyone telling me, I did Letterman twice. Everyone telling me how freezing it was in the studio. Music to my ears. I loved every second of it. Like I'm always a big sweater, and everyone's like, "It's freezing in there," and I'm like, "Good," because I'm only going out there for 9 minutes tops, and then I'll go back into my dressing room.
It makes me I sweat so bad, and I need a new deodorant. What deodorant do you use? Are you allowed to say?
Yeah, a couple things.
Oh,
yeah.
The nothing.
Hold on. First things first, New Year's resolution 2017, demand more from my deodorant. So now that I'm done with that rezo, I'll give it to you.
Please.
You demand.
You
more
demand.
From your deodorant. No, you demand. So, all right, here's what I do. Here's my scent regimen. I like all the Toms of Maine stuff. I like the toothpaste. I like the deodorant. I like all the natural stuff. Not because I'm a health freak. It's weird that the crass, the worst for every, here's the worst. Here's the ugliest of all the Americans. You know, when they do the toothpaste and it has flavor crystals in it and then five power zones and like a gel spine and they're explaining to you this green stripe is for cleaning. The red stripe then comes in after the green stripe and cleans up after the green. This one is an antifungal bacteria. And it's like, just give me some toothpaste. Like, it doesn't, I don't need all the crystals and all the stripes and what everything does. No. It's goo,
little
right?
Charcoal, little mint.
Right. And I don't need all the weird flavors and everything. Just go Tom's of Maine. Just go your kind of spearmint and just toothpaste flavored.
Extreme strawberry.
Done. Yeah, I don't eat none of that. No, isn't that all for kids?
You'd think so, but you're starting to see it for adults now.
Also, the deodorant that smells like deodorant. Like, this is the Power Stroke. Yeah. You know, it's the Red Zone Power Stroke Sports Scent by Menin. And it's like, it literally smells like if you looked up deodorant in a dictionary and could sniff the page, it would smell like Red Zone Power Stroke, whatever.
Mountain Ambush.
Mountain Ambush Red Zone Power Stroke by Menin and Gillette. And it's like, you smell it. And when you smell that guy, if you smell his deodorant, you realize, oh, I am smelling your armpits now.
Absolutely.
This is what I can't mistake this for anything else. The best I found, also, I don't know if you guys are with me, but I feel like the roll-on is weird. Has anyone used a roll-on anymore?
No, in like middle school.
There's a ball.
Roll-on.
They used to have a roll-on.
I don't think they make that.
This is what I was told I have to use now, so I'm glad. I don't like this roll-on.
It's so sticky and liquidy.
It doesn't feel right.
No, it doesn't.
You know what was a big thing in the 90s? I know because I was the prime demo as a teenager. Gel. The gel.
Oh, the gel.
That was worse.
Weird. Weird. I don't like when you twist it. Very homoerotic. Like when you twist it.
Why am I putting on antiperspirant that makes the area wet? The one thing I want to keep dry is making it wet.
But on the other side of the spectrum, when you said flavor crystals, everyone's like, oh, you just got to use this. Rub the crystal on your underarm.
Here's my attack. I got a three-prong attack to scent.
Okay.
And not always used, by the way. That caveat first. Okay. But here's what every guy needs. You need some deodorant that is just basic Tom's of Maine, just sort of regular.
Okay.
Or just whatever. Or you could get, now people are going to make fun of this, but get the baby powered sort of Shore, just the white stuff that just has like a baby powder scent
baby powder
to it.
Scent,
it's just a light scent. There's nothing, it smells fresh or new or clean or something. Doesn't smell anything like deodorant. Do that. Then have a can of the spray-on baby powder. Sure, again, have a can of the spray-on. That's for hitting outside of the shirt. Ooh. I actually did that today. I had a shirt. I had an undershirt that's a little funky town, and I don't know what to do with it. I just give it the shot. You just give it the shot from outside. That's basically.
Doesn't it leave a mark?
You get invisible spray.
Okay.
Yeah, you get the spray. You get the spray for the quick hitter.
Okay.
You get the, again, just the regular, you know, Tom's or whatever, or Shore, whatever, just a white baby powder, whatever, plain for hitting the bare pits. And then you get some kind of spray cologne, nothing over the top, nothing too musky or anything like that. And occasionally, if your head starts smelling because you haven't taken a shower in a few days, you give it the shot and you kind of walk through it.
Wow.
You don't blast it on the wrist or anything. You just give it to the, you weaponize it.
Okay.
That's my move.
I like that.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, I'm dressing for success this year.
Yeah, that's my other thing. You have a lot of mink coats on right now.
A lot.
Nice starter jacket.
I'm like a rapper.
I used to do two undershirts, not like just so I wouldn't have like a sweat stain in high school.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And then, but your undershirt's just covered in perspiration.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
We are way too. We as a society. You know, you say you can't judge, where everyone's not judging. But I got to say, for things that are basically out of your control, let's say high school, your skin is kind of out of your control. Like, it's a genetic hand.
Yeah.
You get some people have beautiful skin and other people get acne or they get whatever. Or they have scarring or they just they're circles under their eyes or puffiness under their eyes. Some guys go bald when they're younger. Some guy, you know, you're sweating. Everyone thinks it's like, oh, look at him. He's a nervous mess over there or whatever. He must have committed a crime or something. It's like some people just genetically sweat under the arm. Some people's feet get sweaty. Some people don't sweat at all.
No, it's a reflection on
what's
their character.
What's all the judgment going? There's so much judgment on what's going on with your hair or your skin or whatever. I'm thinking about Trump and his medical workup. But Dr. Drew was just saying to me when they were like yelling, you know, how can you eat Kentucky Fried Chicken and be healthy? He's like, he's got a good genetic hand. Like that. That's it. He doesn't have the disease that a lot of people have at age 70. No. And there's so much. So much of what we have is genetic. You just take height. Guys get penalized for height. Girls get penalized for having wide hips. You know, all the things we can't control, a lot of penalization, a lot of judging, and then not so much on the stuff we can control oftentimes, like how we treat our kids. can't judge. Yeah. You know, it's like,
that's a great
what is that? Yeah. Why? It's what lets us know we're animals. Mm-hmm. Because you see that kid.
The thing that's within your control.
I'm better than you. You have.
Right. You're like, short. You're born shorter, or you again. Just take something like skin,
right?
Like,
acne. I took tetracycline in school. Like, was I like not washing my face? No, I was washing my face.
But that's right. So we have to ascribe things to it. Like you eat a lot of chocolate, though.
Yeah. Pizza.
I don't eat chocolate. You eat a lot of chocolate.
Yeah.
What do? Take the Hershey stuff, just squirt it straight up your ass, or just put it in your mouth, or how much chocolate? Because your skin, you eat. You ever look at pizza? You see that layer of grease on the top?
Yes, I see that.
Do you eat pizza?
Oh, who doesn't?
Hold on. Hold my pizza. I'm not done judging. Oh. You must eat a lot of pizza. That's why, see, I don't eat pizza. See, what I have combination skin with the oily T-zone, but I don't eat a lot of pizza.
Mm.
You must. Because you're weak.
Yes, extremely. Lactose intolerant.
I'm not that way.
You have inferior genes.
Go to your gluten-free party, all right? That's the worst, and also my favorite is when you say, like, something's wrong with you, and you're with someone you just met, and they're like, well, this is what you need to do. That makes me so happy. Like, you don't know me. Don't tell me what I need to do.
And how do they know?
How do they know? You don't know me. You don't know what my body
is. Did your parents talk to you? I got the conversation from my wife last night that maybe it was time to talk to my 11-year-old son about his ding-a-ling and feelings that he might be having.
Save for air.
And?
I did what I always do.
Did your wife hear something that, or she's just looking at the clock and seeing that he's 11, maybe you should talk about it?
She
witnessed something.
Oh, no.
I think they were like watching.
She does the laundry.
They were like binge watching Stranger Things or something, and he was kind of next to her on the sofa, kind of strumming his guitar a little bit.
Oh, really? No.
And I told her, you know, guys, that's kind of a default setting. You know what I mean? Like, let's definitely make a firm line in the sand between masturbating and just kind of thinking.
Sure.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it's like scratching your beard.
You know when guys are jogging and you see them at a red light and they're just sort of in place?
Yeah.
It's kind of that. We're not sprinting. We're not going anywhere. We're just kind of
holding pattern.
It's keeping the dust off.
Yeah.
You know
staying
what I mean?
Awake.
Staying awake. Yeah, that's all.
The show's boring. You got to fiddle the faddle every once.
Right. Once. But that's a little default setting for dudes.
Wait, so who's getting the talking to, Sonny or Lynette?
Well, I had to give her the talking to.
Does Sonny also get a talking to?
But he should know not to fiddle it in front of, you know,
Mom,
the family.
Yeah.
One should know. One should know. But it's true. If you are going to do it, though, do it in the comfort and safety of my own living room.
Sure.
It's not his. It's mine.
That's true.
Here's a quickie for everyone. I never thought about it. I then had to say to my wife that, I didn't get started till high school. I was like in the 10th grade before I start.
It's hard when they all live in the same room.
And I realized that's late.
Yeah. Hmm.
But now I started to think, well, if I'm late, what's the average?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, on my schedule, I don't have to talk to the kid till the 10th grade. But where's everyone at? Give me a number. I'm looking around.
There's a difference of like in high school, there's a finished product when you know. But when
now,
you're
I'm talking
younger,
finished product.
Oh, I remember being obsessed with, we had a pretty white trash neighborhood and everyone had an above ground pool and me and my friends were really excited about the pool filter.
Oh.
That was like a thing for
taking it
boys.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every single time it was my turn, the mom would always come out. I was always a sicko just lounging over top of the pool,
Derek
smiling.
Immediately starts screaming, Marco Polo!
Yeah,
and then she's like, Derek, you're
exactly.
alone. You're
I
alone.
Can't swim. No, right. I don't know. High school, yeah. I mean, when you like get to that age,
ninth
your
grade,
friends
what
start
grade?
To tell you what to do then.
Yes, it's true.
What?
My friends were sickened
when
that
it
I didn't
became
masturbate.
Something, yeah, when it became not disgusting, when like, be like, oh, I did that, and not like, dude, you touch yourself?
Weirdo. Right.
Oh, you want to feel good? Weirdo.
So, Dawson, Max Pata, like, I need an age here. I got to talk to this boy.
I know this answer because we moved when I was in eighth grade.
December 12th, 1977.
And it was before that. It's end of sixth grade.
Okay, so 12 and a half.
No, man, Sonny's in the sixth
11.
Grade.
11?
Oh, boy.
Smart kid.
That's bad news for me. All right, when should I expect him to start smoking 2-packs a day?
15.
15?
5 minutes afterwards.
All right. Hey, maybe there's a correlation. Max Pata?
I was a healthy 13.
Nice.
13.
Thank you, 13.
Yeah. Stayed home. I was sick, but I was old enough to not need a babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
So
perfect.
Got to know
sweet
myself.
Yeah.
13. Brian, age?
I suspect I have vague memories of as early as fifth grade, but I know for a fact it was at least by sixth grade.
Wow.
You're on the cusp.
Oh, boy.
Man. You're there.
Oh, boy. I'm on the clock for the next
maybe it was
dick.
Summer between fifth and sixth.
Jesus.
So, but yeah, right around that area.
We're producing a product.
Doing it with a purpose, as they say.
Wow. I got to get
sixth
moving.
Sixth grade?
By the way,
went bald in sixth grade, so
no
I
one
had
ever,
testosterone going.
No one ever talked to us about anything, right?
No.
No.
Did you, Chris, do an informal poll of those guys' polls and find out when everyone else started? Because this is starting to worry me now, the sixth grade talk. Yeah. Derek, where were you? I know you're playing it a little close to the
what's that?
Boxer briefs here, but come on, let's have a number.
I would say I remember the first time that happened. I would say 16.
16?
As in a finished product.
Yeah, I know. That's
wow.
That's where I was. I was old.
Yeah, because I didn't know what was happening. No, sorry. I was in seventh grade. I just remembered.
Major drop off.
I remember the sock. That's the part that I remember. And it really messed me up because I remember I loved baseball. I still do. And even though I'm from Baltimore, for some reason my parents gave me a Don Mattingly poster. And I realized like that's
what you were staring at.
I wasn't staring at it, but that was like the first thing I saw.
It was in the purview.
Afterwards.
Donnie baseball.
You cannot get aroused now without
his head
on that.
Judgmentally.
I went somewhere. I like baseball cards, and I was at a baseball card shop, and the guy had that exact poster, and it really freaked me out.
Oh yeah, brought you back to the sock.
Yeah, just a little kick. Yeah. Did you ever get busted?
Yeah, at your friend's house, right?
Oh wait, what was the friend's house?
Well, didn't you get caught with a magazine?
Well, that was no, that was an insane story. That was me sleeping over at Ray's apartment, his parents' apartment. And for some reason, I was sleeping on the floor. I was always like, to me, if you had wall-to-wall carpet, like, I grew up in a real trashy house. It was a real beater. And wall-to-wall carpet was kind of a big deal. And these guys, my friends who had apartments, all had wall-to-wall carpet. It was kind of cool. And sleeping on the floor was cool for me if you had wall-to-wall carpet. Wow. So I was just on the floor. And Ray had a magazine. This is back when you knew, like which friends. Like, this friend has Electronic Battleship, and this friend has an Atari, and this friend has a mini bike. Like, you had your friends separated by what they had.
This one on Sega Genesis.
Yeah. Later on, it became porn. Like, hey, this guy's got this porn. Ray had a magazine called Frisky. Like a total 50s, like back when chicks had huge areolas and big, like, swinging banana tits. And they'd be like, there'd be a picture of them, like, fixing you a cocktail with a beehive hairdo, but they were topless, but they were like their grandma's underpants.
Yeah, like the white out lipstick.
Yeah,
swinging, like, banana.
No, just these pendulous kind of, like, they weren't the fake ones and they weren't the waif models. Yeah. They were like these weird kind of 50s, 60s boobs, you know? And he had this magazine called Frisky, and I was like, oh, yeah. And
hey, that's me.
He had a babysitting gig or something in the apartment above us. And I was like, I'm tired. I'm going to go retire. But of course, I was grabbing Frisky.
Yeah.
And I had the bed sort of blanket on the floor and the pillow on the floor and like maybe a sheet on the ground is laying on that. Oh, we're looking at Frisky.
There she is. Exactly as you described her.
Wow.
Well, there was quite a few episodes.
It's Adam's Rosebud.
Issues.
He's got to get the...
By the way...
Frisky.
Imagine.
You got to get that issue back.
Imagine that. We got to get the Don Mattingly poster and that episode of Frisky. That issue of Frisky. I love it, too. Like, I'd love to be able to explain. This is part of the discussion I'm going to have with my son. 8 pages of sizzling color. Like, you have 700 million hours of anal porn on your phone. And I had 8 pages in color.
And at the bottom, why does it say Irish She Publican and Brenda in Need?
I have no idea.
We gotta crack that thing open.
We can probably find the episode, or the episode,
the issue.
Issue of Frisky. Anyway, Ray had an issue of Frisky. I was like, oh man, this is the greatest day of my life. And I was just looking at it. Because before any of the masturbation kicks in, you just stare.
Yeah. You just can't
just stare at it. And I was just like staring at it. And when I was staring at it, and Ray's mom, God rest her soul, Irene, was like, Adam. And she like came and I threw it under the blanket. And she's like, oh, look at you there on the floor. Come on, let's get you up. Let's get your bed made. Let's do it properly. No. And I'm like, no. I'm good. And I have the magazine like under the blanket, and I'm like kind of cradling it. I'm like, no, I'm fine. I live in a barn with horrible parents who don't care. This is such an upgrade.
You're like Spud in Trainspotting. No, under the sheets.
Yes. And so she's like, I won't have it. I won't have it. Get up. No one's going to come sleep over at my house and sleep on the floor. And I'm like, well, I am. Let's buck that trend. I'll be the first. And she's like, no, I not on my watch. Like, I'm not going to have someone sleep on the floor. And she's like, get up. And I'm like, I'm good. And she's like grabbing the blanket, like trying to pull it from me. And I'm like holding, pinching it under my arm with this Frisky magazine going, I'm fine. Because I couldn't think of anything more embarrassing than this magazine falling out.
But also standing up with a boner.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we're arguing. We're fighting over the blanket. By the way, I have a lot of this in my life where it's like, you guys know, like where someone goes like, you talk to the person, you go, I'm not going to come out to Chet's party this Saturday. I just got too much on my plate. And then that person goes, Chet's going to really be bummed out. Yeah. And then you go, I don't even know Chet that well. And they're like, I feel like Chet would feel pretty bad. And you're like, I feel like he'd be fine. And I told him, I already emailed him. Yeah, Chet's not. And you're like, what, can't you just go find? Move? Can't you just get on with your goddamn life? Like,
we'll miss you. See you next
they
time.
Don't want to go like, alone. You got to delete that friend.
The third time I told Irene Oldhofer, I'm cool on the floor. Like, okay, fine. Like, yeah. I would have just left. Like, oh, sleep on the floor.
Search
maybe
yourself?
Got a bad back. But yeah. She was like, no. So, like, we stood up. And I was like still holding the blanket and the Frisky magazine. And she's like, give me the blanket. And I'm like, I got the blanket. Just go ahead and make the bed up. Get the mattress out or whatever. And she's like doing it. And she's pulling her blanket again. And I'm like, okay. Like, this is the only time I'm an atheist. The only time I ever really believed in God is when I went like, take the blanket. And she like took the blanket in slow motion and like spread it out. In such a way where the magazine just stayed under the blanket the whole time. Like, whoa. It never popped out or hit the ground or whatever. And she made it, and she, like, stood there, and she went, like, there. Isn't that better? And I was like, yes, wow. Yes. It's a miracle.
And you're
it's
an atheist. Miracle.
Right. And then next – and then Ray got back, and I was like, oh, my God. You can't believe what happened. Your mom came in here. I had the Frisky magazine. She pulled the thing apart. It was epic. But she never saw the magazine. She never saw it. It was a miracle. I tell you, a miracle. And then the next day, breakfast, his mom was making us pancakes. He's like, hey, Mom. She's like, yeah. Hey, you know, Frisky magazine? Yeah. Adam had it under the cover the whole time. That's why he was arguing with you. And I was like,
it could go no other way.
No, it could go no other way than that. All right, do we get a number, Chris? Sorry.
Yep, and one of the weirder uses of a buck slip, I went around and I asked Kalen. Kalen is, he was 11 or 12.
Oh, boy.
Dylan was 15.
Ugh, makes sense.
Matt Fondelier, Secret of Pleasure, starting at age 12.
Okay.
And Gary was 11 or 12.
In the pod in first class, or is this on terra firma?
Yeah, this might have been on.
This in Orange County or globetrotting with this international playboy professional golfer
I didn't
dad?
I didn't ask him that,
yeah. But in the poll, was anyone like in a household that like talked about masturbation being okay?
Oh, no.
I would think no one.
You ain't met these guys.
I don't want to have a mom and dad that do that.
Yeah. Did your, I agree too. Like a lot of people are like,
you got to figure it out.
There's a whole group. There's a group of people. There's two groups where they go like, oh, my God. If you talk to most people whose parents spanked them, now people go like, oh, my God, you don't put your hands on your kids. If you talk to the kids, they'll go, oh, no, I deserved it.
Yeah.
Like, I needed
every
it.
Every time.
I should have been spanked. And I deserved spanked. It. It's fine. Like, they'll do that. Yeah. And if you talk to most adults, they're like, you know, you really have to talk to your kids about the sexuality and about the changes and what's going on. And if you talk to – it's the only time I'm glad my dad was, like, lukewarm on his shoulder. Like, thank you, Dad. You never gave me money. You never paid for college. You never bought me a car. You never talked about anything. Thank you for this one aspect. Of you not communicating with me, which is we never had to have this weird conversation. But as a good parent, I must have the weird conversation.
It's the one area I'm okay with the big government because, at least for me, I'm sure for a lot of us, there was health class in school and they went over how
separate
it all
the
went.
Boys and
like,
girls.
I'm totally okay with Mrs. White or whoever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Miss Komisar, get that banana on, put the condom on. That's with your mouth. Go ahead. Go
I remember Mr. Caphammer had like a light outlet standing in front of the class. He said, this is a man, and this is a woman, and then plugged in the light. I remember that just being the coolest thing.
Wow. But she glows when you put it in.
Yeah. You want to make her light up.
Yeah.
But I think I'm a three-pronger. I feel like I got a ground.
The closest I ever got to like a sex talk was my high school girlfriend and my family. We were going to Cleveland, Ohio to see the opening of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, not to date myself. Mm-hmm. And she had a real crazy mom. Everybody does. But she called me and she's like, hey, just so you know, my mom's on her way over to tell your parents that we're having sex.
Oh,
and, God.
You know, my parents thought I was going to wait till I was, you know, married, you know. And so I was like, do I let this wicked witch of the East, like, do it or should I? And so I went downstairs and I told my mom and I started with this. Hey, Mom, you know how I'm getting married, right?
Smart.
She's like, yeah. It's like, well, so we like have had, I've had sex with other people. She's had sex with other people, but we like lost our virginity together with like two people love. She's like, have you told your father? And I said, not yet. And then I go and I remember like Monday Night Football's playing. He's like a beautiful fat man, like eating his chips, you know, after 40 hours working that day. I'm about to ruin his dreams. And hey, Dad, Mom's coming over because she found out we're, having sex, and she just wants to talk about it before the trip. He opens his eyes and just goes, is she pregnant? And I said, no. He goes, okay. That was as close. Wow. That's really all that matters.
Way to get out ahead of that.
Now, my grandmother would tell, my grandmother would make comments like she saw me once and she said, you have hair on your legs. Now that means you can have babies. She also asked if
old world.
All right.
If anyone at the table, well, I'll bring it back to New World. She wanted to know if anyone at the table knew what a rim job was.
I know.
And
do you want to find out?
One of the more intrusive things she said after being married to my grandfather for 50 years, after he died, she was really in a funk for a number of years. And I went to her house and I said, like, how you doing? And she said, I can't stop thinking about, your grandfather. Everywhere I look, they live in a small house in North Hollywood. I opened the door, or the closet door. I see his overcat hanging in there. I go into the den. I see his typewriter there in his study. I go in the bathroom, open the cupboard. I see the water-soluble lube. I swear to God, she just touched me. I was like, couldn't have just stopped at the typewriter or the oversized print dictionary. Had to go for the lube. Lube.
The worst.
Not the museum.
The lube.
Had to end it with the water lube. Not Waterloo, not in France. Waterloo. This was my Waterloo.
Yeah. ABBA.
Oh, my God. And you knew she was serious because she knew it was water soluble.
She talked to...
There it is.
Waterloo.
One of their best.
Vagine. My grandma's is dry and thus she needs lubrication for grandpa. And now he's going to violate her on a brass bed. That I remember as a lad.
Yeah.
I think he may have had some fun with dad on there as well. Waterlube. Couldn't let grandpa in without it on. Sing along. Waterlube. Gonna embarrass the hell on my grandson. Waterlube. Couldn't have stopped at the goddamn typewriter. Waterlube. Telling your boy so you'll kill yourself. Oh, and not whacking again, Waterloo. You'll never whack off at Ray's mom's apartment. All right.
Yay, Waterloo.
Waterloo.
That better make an appearance on the Ace Awards.
That is. That'll be a standalone category.
Waterloo. All right. Where were we?
Derek
Waters
matter?
Here. Waters. What? Drunk history. So we're going to play our game, right? We're going to play drunk walking. So Dylan went to a bar.
Yeah, he went to Idle Hour in North Hollywood.
Great bar.
Yeah, quite a watering hole.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Wait, where is that? I'm from North Hollywood.
Is that the one that looks like a barrel?
Vineland and fish and chips place. Yeah.
Oh, that
awesome.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like a big barrel, I think.
Yeah, my friend's a bartender. She's manager there.
Yeah, by the Odyssey. Yeah. The big Odyssey that has like big layers. Like, we have Kim Kardashian sex tape on sale. Like weird. That place used to just sell and rent like regular VHS tapes.
And then in the back, you'd have
to. They had a huge porn section. I remember first moving out here, me and my friend would go there and buy stuff together, and then we would trade it, which now that sounds, that's disgusting.
It is, but it's good
jerking
business.
Jerking off to the same stuff? It's weird.
Yeah.
It's price effective.
I've had a few trading sessions.
Trading sessions.
I had a friend who worked at Dale's Jr., and they had a nice section of magazines, so he was lousy with porn. And I'd come over with mine every once in a while and be like, got it, need it, don't want it.
I used to work at Tower Video, and there was a porn section, and the only reason I know that this porn existed was someone rented it, and it was called 87 and Still Banging. Yeah.
There was one. I'm gonna lube myself.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a little drunk. Let's do a little drunk walking. Here we go.
Drunk walking.
Drunk. Ace wants to know if you know things that non-drunkards should know. You're alcoholics. It's time for drunk walking. 'Cause you are drunk.
All right. So Dylan went, he asked a question, and he said, stick with the history theme.
Like, yeah.
Because that's
so we'll
what we're doing.
Whether or not this particular drunk who's answering the question knows.
We're going to guess yes or no. Okay.
All right.
Right. So our first
Our first contestant is Alex. He's 25 years old. He went to Orange Coast College.
Wow, she looks great. There you go.
She's a personal assistant, and she's learning visual effects makeup. Here's her question.
Mm-hmm.
What event started World War One?
That's a deep pull,
is it though?
Wasn't it the Archbishop Ferdinand? Yeah.
Well, there was.
That's all I know about.
Archduke, and then what about what was the sinking of the Lusitania?
That's what got the U.S. involved.
During the
war. Oh, okay. All right. Well, that makes me even more right. All right. No.
No.
Women don't know anything about war. They're not war people.
Yeah.
Look at her outfit. People. She seems savvy.
Yeah.
She seems very subtle. Very quiet. Right. Very quiet.
I say no, Derek.
No way.
Gina Gray.
I say yes.
No.
It's so out there. What's that?
Popular band, Franz Ferdinand.
Mm-hmm.
Hit in the later 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of Who's That and people kind of going back and checking it out.
She's also 25.
That's our only chance at this.
It's so out there, I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
What event started World War One?
Was it the bombing of Pearl Harbor?
Damn it.
That's my lady.
Yeah. I should have known where this was going. I should have known.
We tried.
It was cute that she responded with a question.
Or an actual event.
Mm-hmm.
Real thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is Monica. She's 38. She went to college in Budapest, Hungary.
Nice.
And she's a personal trainer.
Nice.
Which country gave the United States the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask this. We asked Dylan about this. She's a personal trainer. We're looking at her. She's beautiful. She looks fit. But she has a cocktail, and we're shooting her outside, which means she's smoking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she went to Budapest. She's probably European.
So she's drinking and smoking, but she's a personal trainer. Because I'm imagining if we shoot you outside and you're holding your... Any pictures of anyone holding their drink outside means they went out to smoke.
Yeah, the smoking porch.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
Right, I'm not judging.
That's a good one.
It's ironic that she's a personal trainer.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
who gave us the Statue of Liberty?
Right.
France.
So the rub here, she's Hungarian.
I think she knows. We wouldn't have gotten this picture outside if she said no.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I think the no's were shot inside.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Interesting pattern, Gina Graff.
But sometimes the Europeans are more worldly than us ugly Americans, so they know more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say she does know.
Okay.
My personal assistant's always drunk.
I'm going to say she's a trainer.
Oh, right, yeah.
The other one's assistant. I'm going to say she knows as well, Brian.
I was going off the board trying to catch up, so she does not know.
Mm.
We got a funny answer here.
Okay.
Which country gave the United States the Statue of Liberty?
France.
Yeah, that's my lady.
I want her to be my trainer.
I want the other one to be my assistant.
She just blows smoke in my face while I'm doing push-ups.
Yeah.
This is Tim. He's 27, went to Rowan University. He's freelancing in the entertainment industry.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't hear the last part. Sorry, man.
He's freelancing in the entertainment industry.
Okay.
He's a lumber sexual.
Unemployed.
Yeah.
Which two cities did the U.S. drop atomic bombs on during World War II?
Does he know Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
Or the super blowhardy Hiroshima.
Yeah.
I love when they're like, 47 years of Hiroshima, now you got to change this somehow? Didn't work. People didn't reckon. People are confused. Like, what? Where? Who?
We got a third bomb?
Yes. And we get it. You're smarter than we are because you pronounce things differently. We get it. It's such a blowhardy move. All right.
I'm going to say yes. I think this guy reads.
I don't think he knows both the cities. I'm going to say no.
He'll name them both. Yes.
Getting back to my musical references,
There
was a hit song from the 80s called Enola Gay. Dawson, you remember? Does that sound familiar?
Wow.
Of course, Enola Gay, name of the airplane that dropped the atomic bombs. And Enola was the name of the mom, I believe, of the pilot.
Wow.
And it was like OMD. Yeah.
I'm impressed. I never heard that.
Yeah. You might know the song. Yeah, it holds up. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it was from 2000, I don't know, 17?
Yeah.
16?
December, late 16. Yeah.
Now, you may not, you may know the song and you may not know it's about the plane.
It sounds exciting.
It sounds like the safety dance.
It's good bombing music.
Oh, my God.
Waterloo. Does everyone know this or who's that?
Oh,
whoa.
Whoa. Dark. Right out of the gate.
They also had the B-side, which was Amelia Earhart's plane. Like songs
the one
about
that got
famous.
Away. Yeah.
Now, Dawson, you know this song.
I am familiar with the name of the song. If you had played it for me, I would have said I have no idea.
So you had to grow up here and have K-Rock for this song to be familiar to you.
Amazingly, Spotify lists this as their most popular song.
It was out here. Was on K-Rock. What year is this?
Like 80s.
Early 80s?
This is the only other one I know from OMD.
Well, if you leave, don't...
Yeah. This is Pretty in Pink right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's about my grandma's vagine when it was not properly lubricated. No. All right, so I'm the only one with the Enola Gay song, right?
Yeah. So it's all you.
All right. But Franz Ferdinand we're all on board with.
No.
All right, so this guy's a dude... Dudes know more about war, but he's a young dude.
Yeah. And he's pretty.
And he's pretty. Pretty people are dumb.
Yeah.
Except for me. So, we say what again, Derek?
I'm going to say yes. He likes to read.
I don't think he knows both. I'm saying no.
Okay, so he gets one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
I'm playing from behind, so I'm going to say... He went to college in New Jersey at a small school, Rowan. I just looked it up. So I'm gonna say, yeah, he knows. He knows.
I'm gonna say he knows as well.
Which two cities did the U.S. drop atomic bombs on during World War II?
Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Damn it!
Nope, actually Hiroshima.
Right.
All right. What's the score?
What's our score,
Chris?
Yeah.
Derek and Adam are tied 3 each. Mm-hmm. Gene and Brian are tied at 1.
All right. Okay. Well, let's just have this be the tiebreaker between Derek and myself.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
All right.
Okay. This guy is 40. His name is Eitan. He went to university in the Philippines, and he works with developmentally disabled children.
Good for him.
And the thing I like about this guy, he's got a Pabst Blue Ribbon tall boy in one hand and a tumbler in the other. Like so he's two fists in it, which I like.
Yeah. His job stresses him out.
Yeah. I respect that. Mm-hmm.
Name the two opposing sides of the Civil War.
Oh, now come on.
Wait a second.
Is that really a tiebreaker?
And specifically, are we looking for the Union and the Confederacy? Or are we talking about North and South? Will we? Okay.
We should.
Oh, well, I think...
I think
Dylan
won't
accept North.
Accept
he wouldn't
Union
have asked
Confederacy.
That.
Say again,
okay, sorry. Union and Confederacy is only that's only accepted. I'll let you go, Derek.
My instinct says he'll say North and South, so
and
I
not
guess
Union
means,
and Confederacy.
I guess that means no.
And he's from the Philippines?
Or that's where he went to school.
Well, but he looks Filipino, right? Yeah.
Shifty.
But he's not a nurse,
the
but he kind
Filipino
of is, right?
Said.
All right, so you say he's going to say North and South, but when pressed, we're not going to get Union and Confederacy.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, so Derek says no, I say yes.
Name the two opposing sides of the Civil War.
The North and the South.
Yeah, baby.
Wow. Oh, the Confederates and the North. The Yankees?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Brewers, you idiot. All right. Well, that's a big win for you, and who would know better than Derek Waters?
Thank you.
History, everyone.
And that was Drunk History's Derek Waters back in 2018. Adam needs to get on that show. He'd be great on it.
Oh, he'd easily do it. Derek would have him in a heartbeat.
Drew's
like a super fan of the show and of Derek. And if Derek, even if Derek didn't want Adam, Drew could make it happen. But Derek clearly expresses he wants Adam to do it.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where Adam's like, yeah, whatever.
Well, before we get going with the next clip, I want to remind everybody that there is a secret to staying sweat-free this summer, and that's Tommy John. Tommy John's summer-ready, ultra-breathable underwear and bras. Gio, you know about that cool cotton, right?
I know all about the Cool Cotton, and they have other materials as well. The Cool Cotton, though, is probably your best bet for the summer heat. I'm literally wearing a Cool Cotton undershirt right now. I'm also wearing pants and Tommy John underwear Cool Cotton as well. It is good stuff. If you want to stay cool inside, if you don't have air conditioning, if you're working outside, if you're just stuck behind the desk in a chair all day, Tommy John.
Yeah. And look, if you're doing the online meetings, virtual meetings, they got lounge pants, lazy day joggers. Nobody's seeing waist down. Be comfortable, guys. Upgrade to Tommy John today with enhanced super breathable designs. For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/classics to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/classics for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/classics. All right, let's get going with another clip. Geo, what do we got?
We have another hilarious segment from the Adam Carolla Show, this time from episode 779, featuring Matt Paxton of Hoarders, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. This is from March of 2012. This is Matt's interview. You get a little bit of Hoarders talk, a little bit of news, a little bit of a supercut. Check it out.
Good to see you, Matt Paxton.
Thanks for having me, man.
Matt, you know from the TV show Hoarders, just talking to someone about this, compelling stuff. Season 1 and Season 2 available on Amazon, and if you're going to get Season 1 and Season 2 of Hoarders on Amazon, keep the pirate ship afloat, baby. Go to AdamCarolla.com, click on the Amazon banner, and then you get the Hoarders, and that's what you call win-win. Matt, how'd you get started in this?
Man, I failed at everything else, and I pretty much was cleaning up houses for $12 an hour.
And how'd that work? I mean, who were you going into houses like after people were deceased and cleaning them out?
I did one crime scene, and that was
well.
That was
I didn't
good.
Mean yeah, sometimes I actually, people die.
No, I actually did a crime scene.
Really?
Yeah, and it was brains all over a tub, and I was like, I'm good. Like,
wow.
I'm done.
Was it a murder or was it a suicide?
It was a fail. Well, it wasn't a fail. It was a he tried one way to kill himself, didn't succeed, and then slipped and killed himself that way. It was awful.
Really?
Yeah, he tried to shoot him, hang himself, but he ended up drowning. And it got body been there for like a week. It was horrible.
Wonder if he's like, I'll just rest on it and think about it tomorrow. I'm going to take a bath.
Basically Whitney Houston style at the end. And it was just...
Well, wait a second. He tried to kill himself by hanging himself.
And the shower head broke. And it's not funny.
Shower head broke, and then he hit his head.
Hit his head and drowned in the water. The water turned on and drowned in the water. And we found his
body. The water turned on.
Yeah, so that's what alerted the people was the water had been running for a week. And so the body had been in a tub.
So point being,
I didn't want to do that. So now, think about what I clean up now. It's not so bad.
Yeah, Matt told me off the air he was this close to not beating off that night. This close. He said, almost. Yeah, that's how horrific that bloated, week-old body was.
What a hero.
Yeah, what a hero.
I did my part.
Glad you persevered.
So we're talking about, I have some cars back there, and I'm a car hoarder, I think. But you run into guys who hoard cars.
Acres and acres and acres. Just acres and acres and acres full of old rusty cars.
Right.
One guy, we actually had the Batmobile. From one of the original Batmobiles, just sitting out in a field.
And is there anyone? But you also said off the air that some folks hoard high end cars.
Oh
too.
Yeah, we have one guy had like 50 Ferraris.
But now
why is that hoarding that. As opposed to just being
is
like
that,
Adam?
Is that
great
collecting?
Question.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Right. For me,
what are you
gonna do? For me, the definition is if your collection takes precedence over your family and your friends.
Oh, Adam. Aww.
Then you're done.
What if your family and friends aren't as cool as a Lamborghini Miura?
You sell your kid for a car.
What if you have twins, and when you refer to your twins, you mean your cars?
Yeah. Okay. First off, hold on. Now, wait a minute. Now, just give me the floor for a second. Everybody shits out a kid these days, right?
Yeah.
The world is filled with them. We have them in all different colors. But they only made a couple hundred Lamborghini Muras. You understand? Now, if it was the other way around, and they only made a couple hundred kids, and we were lousy with Muras, well, then I would feel differently. Now, wouldn't I?
Adam, you know what I see here? I see a bunch of people care like heck about you.
Is this an intervention?
This is absolutely an intervention.
Who's got the Lamborghinis?
You're in a safe place. Just in the van.
All right, you're. I don't know why your mic is driving me insane because it's in your right eye. I don't know.
Is that better?
But every time I turn it,
I think you have to just make it a little bit lower
because
it's just going to flip.
Pull it down a little. There we go. Yeah. So the guy who had the 50 Ferraris, he was
he just wouldn't let go of anything. Dude was dying, and it was like, you're dying. Sell this stuff, man. Like, let's move on. It's, you clearly have buyers. Like, it's a phone call. We could have all 50 sold. It's not about the cash.
Why not let him die and just give the money to his family?
Yeah, it was a wish of the families. We do a lot of estate cleanup stuff, too, where families just don't know what to do, and so they have us come in. And I mean, our job is to just clean up a big mess. It might be on hoarders, which is horribly disgusting.
Right.
It might be just a big mess that you're not mentally disorder, but you just have a hard time.
Because I grew up in secondhand clutter and sort of chaos with almost no square footage, I hate that feeling.
I mean, your place is very organized, man.
I'm trying.
It's very, I mean, there is order and there's structure and purpose to everything in this place.
Oh, really?
With the exception of that table in the back.
Which one?
Well, there's a bunch of mechanical stuff. Otherwise, it's
yes,
perfect.
I'm attempting. Yeah. It's just there's a weird thing, and you can help me with this. And by the way, you know, I get into this thing all the time where I argue about this with my wife all the time. She's like, "Listen, you can't train people; they just are who they are." And what are you going to do? And I'm like, "No, I don't accept that. I think you can train people, and no, people don't want to change, alter, whatever." But I have a dumb gardener. And my stupid gardener would leave. Now, here's what happens, honestly. When the kids arrived, when the twins arrived, I built a gate in front of my pool so the kids wouldn't drown. I knew statistically that that was an issue. Yeah. And I built another gate in front of some French doors so the kids wouldn't drown. But there was a third gate sort of in the back of the courtyard that the gardener would use to pass through from the courtyard to the pool area or whatever that he would often leave open. And I told him 1,000 times, shut the gate, shut the gate. The kids play in the courtyard. Mama's in the kitchen. It's always the same story. It, you know, whenever the kid drowns, it's never like, well, we threw him in a pool and then we went to Maui. Although that would be refreshing. It's always like, I was in the kitchen. I was looking at them in the courtyard. The phone rang. I walked away. I came back 2 minutes later. The boy was gone. And then we found him in the pool and the paramedics couldn't, whatever. And I said to my wife, who was obsessed with filtered water, the kids are going to drown in the pool because the fucking gardener won't shut the fucking gate. And we told him 10 times and he wouldn't do it. And then I started yelling at my wife, you must go out there and check after he leaves because he's too stupid. And finally, I docked him $50. I just said, you know what? Sorry, Herman, you've left the gate open 20 times. I beg you to shut it. You won't do it. You're now out $50. And every time you leave it open, I'm going to hold back $50. And guess what?
Never left the gate open again.
What? But people can't be trained. They're just going to do what they're going to do. Bull fucking shit. Take $50 out of their wallet. They won't leave the fucking gate open. All of a sudden, they get smart. So that's total bullshit. They could have done it. They didn't do it. And it drives me nuts. I actually get more angry. I wish that he would just go fuck you and leave it open. The fact that they can do it is the part that bothers
me. How good a gardener is he?
I don't know.
I see his work with Topiary. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a nice enough guy. I just
I always fire him.
Only reason I keep him is because he works with his wife. I watch her and I look at my wife and I go, I like that. Look at that. That's a tough life.
Would you want to take your wife to work?
Would you
want to
do that?
Hell no.
He got no choice. Maybe he's going to drown himself in the pool. Point is, it's $50.
He's
gate
trying
closed.
To get fired, man.
I trained him in 10 seconds. $50 I took away. Boom. Gate closed.
Logic on that is he doesn't have mental disorder. He can follow that logical transgression. He understands risk reward. He understands, you know, compensation.
Yeah.
Our hoarders, man, they are disabled. They're mentally disordered. They
what
don't
is it
understand
called?
It.
What is that disorder called?
Shit, I don't even know. I'm a trash man. I'm not a therapist. I clean up shit for a living, man.
But shouldn't you shit out one?
I should know. I wrote a book about it.
It should be called something. Dr. Drew could probably toss something and put it on a wristband for you.
There is a long word about it.
Is it the same sort of component in everybody?
A lot of it comes from OCD, believe it or not. Like the perfection side. And you can't do it perfectly, so then they don't do it at all. And their brain shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times like half of the house is perfect.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then they get to this other half, and they can't do it today, so they're going to do it tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And they really believe they're going to do it.
So when you walk into a space, you do a lot of judging?
My job is technically to not judge at all, but I do a lot of eyeing everything up. I have about, when I walk in a house, I got about 10 minutes to figure out their entire life story.
Because
I got to have a strategy to know how I'm going to attack this mentally. Picking up poop is picking up poop. It's not really that hard.
Right.
You know, I do the worst. I get dead animals and the shit. Every time.
Really?
I mean, 40,000 pounds of shit.
40,000 pounds?
Human.
That's a big
shit.
Apartment.
It was.
Oh, yeah, I see. That's over the course of
over
your
the
career.
Course of, no, that was a house.
40,000?
A house.
What happened
Hold
to
on
that toilet?
20 tons. Oh, it was full 10 years ago.
Hold on a sec.
Yeah.
Don't Hold they have on. A...
Hold on.
Flush?
Hold on. Matt was also telling me that night. This,
I did masturbate that
this
night.
Close,
actually, I gave
this
up.
Close. Yeah. This close. But still, this close.
What if Matt met Matt?
Oh, the porcelain punisher? They clean him right up. So you went into one house.
Sounds
one
like
house.
Shangri-La.
And got 40,000 pounds of
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot more than it really is. It's about It's about 10 of those 40-yard dumpsters.
Oh, that's a lot.
So
oh,
about
that's it?
10 of these rooms.
A 40-yard dumpster.
That's a lot of human shit.
Let me tell you something. I got a 25-yard dumpster over at the other warehouse, which is being gutted. That's a big dumpster. 40 yards, full size.
Yeah. But it's 8 foot high. Yeah,
yeah that's the biggest dumpster they make.
You get two cars in there.
Is that. Yeah. And
why
would you put? You want to put my two cars in there?
No,
I don't think so. Okay, cars as an example? Or are you saying I should cars in there?
I'll drop the cars.
Because you show up those fucking 40-yard dumpsters around here.
How much car parts do you buy? Do you buy new or do you buy?
I don't.
Do you have a warehouse? Is it an extra warehouse four parts?
I don't want. Okay. I do not want to buy the extra car parts.
But.
I get the phone call from Les, the guy who builds the race cars. He's
the pusher.
Yeah,
the dealers with him.
Yeah. He's the enabler. And he always does the thing where, like, Turk Johnson is getting rid of his entire close ratio, short throw boxes, all the comp boxes for the Roadsters. And he's got three of them. And they're all rebuilt. And they'd normally be like $3,000 a piece. And your Roadster needs a comp box on it. And you don't like the. And if we start running at Road Atlanta, you're going to need a shorter comp box or whatever. Anyway, long story short, I can get all three of them. For $5,000, and then it's like,
and who are you to say no to that?
And I just kind of, I always go like, and he's going to throw in three rear ends, and I don't know how many of them are good, but there are 200, so we need those anyway. And it's like I end up going, and then I get them. So that's what happened.
I used to try to help everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you got the money in the space,
yeah, I got piles. I got piles of shit.
Really?
And when you race, shit breaks all the time.
Well, we joke, but that's a legit issue. Like. Sometimes you actually do need the stuff. And if they don't make it anymore...
They don't.
You do have to jump.
And it breaks. And the thing is for every different track, you need a different set of gears and all that kind of shit.
Same logic, but the story is you have 200 dead cats.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm cleaning up.
Uh-huh.
And they'll give me the same story.
So I want to get back
to this cat.
Let's get back to the
shit
house for a second. Where was the shit house?
It's in Maryland. You could actually see the university. It was on the campus of the University of Maryland. You could actually see the football stadium.
And the person that was living there?
She was young, like 50. She was living in a medical toilet. She would just strap herself in.
Uh-huh.
And she lived in about a 2-foot by 2-foot area, like a cockpit. It's not a feel-good story.
And
it's pretty awful.
Where would she defecate?
She would just defecate right there and then take the diaper and throw it in the hallway.
Oh, so the diaper got tossed.
Yeah,
It got tossed in the hallway.
Yeah, and then it just filled up. The shit house?
Yeah. Who contacts you?
Usually family or like social services or fire and rescue. A lot of times I'm their last resort. Like everyone else has tried to help them.
Right.
If they can't work with me, they're going to lose their home or their kids.
Let me tell you how I handle that situation. Let me tell you how I clean that up.
This is what I was waiting for.
I go in there and I go... house insured? All right. Yeah, let's just go in there and assess the situation. Then I do that move where I just pull the gas hose off the back of the stove. And I just sit out front. Maybe I return a few phone calls, do it at a certain point, light a cigarette, and then I do the slow motion flick. And when that cigarette flies in slow motion, we all know what's going to happen.
Anara.
That's right. Just like in Con Air, and I just start walking away, and the whole place goes up in a fucking mushroom
trust
cloud.
Me, sometimes.
And nobody sheds a tear, and we do that. There's nothing we could do about it. Act of God, moving on.
We actually did one house.
How bad that would smell.
Mm-hmm.
The smell is bad. We did one house that was so toxic, we weren't allowed to. We had to bulldoze it. It was unsalvageable. You weren't allowed legally. We couldn't bulldoze it because it was so dangerous. So we actually had to burn it. We'd do a controlled
burn. What was in
it?
What was in it?
Shit and cats and paper. It was really near the Chesapeake Bay,
uh-huh.
So it's just too close.
Right. Yeah. Should...
Your normal Tuesday afternoon.
What do you do with the person? How do you extract the person?
Yeah. That's my job, is to really get them on my side and try to get them to take therapy and try to get them to understand that the right thing is to change. And it's not always the easiest thing in the world to do. I mean, I got punched by a 75-year-old lady.
Oh, yeah.
Flat punched in the face.
Well, when I used to do earthquake rehab work, I would go into the units of the crazy people who lived in the subsidized housing.
You did insurance restoration work?
Yeah. Okay. I did work for the city of Los Angeles, which was crazy old people living in bachelor-size apartments.
And you saw the piles and all that stuff.
Oh, I saw a guy who had nothing but the one panel of the milk carton with the missing kid cut out and piled to the ceiling times 20 all the way across thing.
In case he saw the kid, he could pull it back and remember which one it was.
And guys that just, everyone cooks with lard, by the way. It all smells like fucking fried hell. Uh-huh. Crazy guys, you know, shotgun, underpants, shaky Jake. I mean, just weird, unstable dudes and no square footage, and you're having to go into their place and explain to them, we have to take apart your kitchen, we have to take apart your bathroom.
And there's not even enough space to turn around if you had to.
Right.
I mean, you got to back out.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that hits you is the smell that the space heater and the shitty carpet creates.
Yeah.
And then
cat piss and cigarette smoke makes a really interesting combination.
Now, see, I have clutter pack rat tendencies, and obviously not on that order. But and for me, it's because I can't make decisions.
You choose not to make a decision.
Yes, I put it off. Well, you know, I could. Like
he did the judo with you.
He really did.
He's a wordsmith judo. Yeah. You choose not to make decisions.
Well, it's choice. Mm-hmm. You can live this way or not. It doesn't bother you. You still do it.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. So how do I get through that, though?
Somebody will make you do it someday.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a reason to care.
Right? Interesting.
Who cares?
That's
but
right.
I would be happier.
I'll pay you $50 to make a decision.
Okay.
When we hook up.
I decide that I'm going to do it tomorrow.
All right. Should we play a little... totally topical TiVo trivia, and you don't want to end up like one of these hoarder guys.
The last thing you want is me showing up at your house.
No.
That's the worst. It's rock bottom for most people.
That's why I use bigcommerce.com. Yeah.
Hey. That's why.
All right. Shall we do a little totally topical TiVo trivia?
Let's do it.
Let's play totally topical TiVo trivia time today.
All right, games to five.
Do you want to explain how the game
Yeah, play? Matt, yeah. We are. This is the actual TiVo description of the movie.
Okay.
So, as it reads, minus the names
of
the celebrities. You think you'd have to figure it out, but it usually takes a couple tenths of a second, especially with Paul Bryan over here.
Right.
He's crushing. I have my moments.
I have never had a moment.
Allison's never had a moment. So, when you think you know the movie, you shout out your name.
Okay. My name, not the name of the movie. My name.
Your name.
Ring in.
Your name. Right. You ring in with your name.
Okay.
And what's my name? Pete?
You're Pete.
Yeah, I'm Pete. Adam's too soft.
Do I get a fake name?
The half syllable going to...
I've been burned too many times with the... Pete. It's a definitive sound.
Spotty.
If I ever am going to call in, I'm going to use a different name too. Spotty. Allison's not going to work.
Me.
All right. Everyone ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. When an unmanned locomotive...
Pete.
Pete.
Brian.
Oh, shit. All right. 5 seconds. Out of control. Whatever it is.
That should be a tie.
Brian.
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
From 2010. Unstoppable. Brian's on the board.
Unstoppable. Yes.
Coastal Oregon kids. Follow the treasure map.
Pete.
Oh.
I'll let Matt. I'll let Goonies.
Yeah.
1985.
All right. We're in Oregon. You're right.
Passengers and crew enjoy a wild party aboard an airliner flying from Los Angeles to New York.
Oh, Matt, it's...
Brian.
Pete.
Matt.
I know what it is.
It's like booty plane or something. What is it?
Soul plane.
Soul plane. Shit.
Brian is correct from 2004. Soul plane.
Right, all right, what is... Let's try not to go ethnic. What do we have here? We have...
it's difficult.
Brian's got two... Right?
Yes, and Pete has one.
Pete has one.
Pete's on the board.
Demanding the release of a political prisoner, a terrorist, and his gang.
Brian. Die Hard 2.
Hijack the U.S. president's plane.
Man. Pete.
Pete.
Oh, Air Force One?
Yeah. From 1997.
Yeah, look out.
Tied up at two.
All right.
A produce supplier. Finds love in New York.
Oh, Matt, it's Splash.
from 1984.
Wow, nice job, man.
He was a produce supplier.
Yeah, I didn't his know. Brother
his
was.
Brother was.
He and his brother worked together. Yeah.
He didn't do anything.
Because of a time warp, a supermarket worker.
Pete.
Brian.
Pete.
Oh, damn it.
Let's see. Oh, shit. Dawn of the Revenge of the Dead. Whatever the fuck that movie is.
Brian, I know, did you buzz?
Can I keep hearing it?
It's up to everyone
now. Did you jump in?
I did, but if long one's on the board.
The Evil Dead.
A supermarket worker.
I know this stupid
finds himself fighting in medieval England.
Oh, Matt. Bill and Ted.
With a chainsaw.
Oh, it's
oh, it's a redheaded British
Brian.
Guy.
It's Bruce Campbell in wow, fuck.
I said it. I said
3 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know it. Bruce Campbell with the chainsaw.
Allison, the rest of it is for you. And a 73 Oldsmobile.
God damn it!
I knew it when you said supermarket. Right? I can't.
Evil
fucking...
Dead.
It is Army of That's Darkness.
Army of Darkness.
I don't know.
Yes,
that.
I knew it. I fucking knew that movie. I
knew
just didn't know which one it was. All right.
A blind ex-colonel.
Pete.
Pete.
Wow. Scent of a Woman.
From 1992.
Good one. Good one.
All right. Wait a minute. What's Pete have?
I think you got
three. Uh-oh. Look out.
Do I have two?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
An FBI agent.
Pete!
Oh, wow. If this is Point Break, I'm going to burn this fucking studio down.
Point Break.
Trades physical identities with his nemesis. Brian.
Face off.
Sorry, that's my fault, Pete.
You fucking said FBI.
I led you. I know. I led you into that.
That's like
dirty.
Your
that's dirty play.
It's in my top 1.5.
I don't know. Unable to find gainful employment, two underachievers establish a revenge for hire.
Brian, Dirty Work.
From 1998.
Oh, awesome, Jesus movie. Christ. Now, what do you have?
Movie?
Four?
Is that him in that movie?
No. All right, four to three. All right, here we go.
I'm going to make a comeback.
Hey, I got one.
I'm actually doing well.
The Griswolds and family head by station wagon.
Allison.
Allison.
Vacation?
We'll accept that from 1983, okay, National Lampoon's Vacation. A Woolly Mammoth.
Pete. Ice Age.
From 2002.
Wow. Oh, tied up.
4-4.
Is this the tiebreaker?
Well, unless Allison or Matt get it.
This is our second to last answer. All right. If one of you get it, it's the game.
I can taste victory.
All right.
A record company employee has just...
Matt.
Wow.
I'll say Hi-Fi. High Fidelity.
Has just a few days.
Brian. Now can't go over the win. Get him to the Greek.
From 2010.
Yeah! And the win.
Oh, damn.
Get him to the Greek.
Damn it. You and your
and for more totally topical TiVo trivia time tomorrow.
Oh, fucking Brian Tuesday. Always wins. God damn it.
Don't you have a movie podcast, though?
Yeah.
Isn't that a little...
No, biased? He's good. He's good. But I could have got Face Off, but I got the FBI. If you listen to Keanu...
I did.
If you listen to Keanu's acting in that movie, at a certain point, he goes, I am an FBI. And we always make fun of it. So when he got sing-songy with the FBI... So
he led you with that.
Yeah. Which at first I thought was a good thing. Yeah.
I will take the credit for your loss.
Thank you. Face off.
That makes it better.
Just play the sayonara drop. I just literally said face off 8 minutes earlier.
All that with the chemo and the brain tumor.
Yeah, he's got a brain tumor too. Jeez, I've been bragging about it for 3 years now.
It's a laughing matter.
It's shrinking. I can joke. We joke. Hey, it's the way I deal with the pain. Allison, give us another news story and a half.
And now, the rest of the news. Allison. With Allison.
Which half?
Allison.
Something to cheer me up.
Jessica Simpson was on air with Ryan Seacrest, and she began talking about her amorous feelings ever since she's been super pregnant. She said, I am definitely feeling intimate. I'm kind of unstoppable at the moment. Like the big O is the biggest O ever. And evidently her fiance, Eric Johnson, she said he's always ready. He's always ready.
I just did the Tonight Show with her.
Yes.
And she's turning into like a crazy hillbilly. Like she's
How
turning
so?
Laughing. Well, she's
turning into?
Well, she's
always been.
Well,
reverting back to.
Well, what I'm saying is like, you know, there was the Dukes of Hazzard, her in the bikini, yes, and dancing around, and like Daisy Dukes, and holy shit. And now she's just this huge woman
right
who
now,
with a crazy laugh and too much hair. And it's this kind of this weird, like, I can't believe I'm at a stage in my life where it's like, if she offered up the pussy, I'd be like, you know what? I just topped off on pussy. But come around and like a black kid trying to sell you candles. You know what? I don't have my checkbook. But if you come back around in another couple months, maybe, you know, we got to buy here.
I mean, I like magazines, so come around.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, she is like big and crazy, and she was like cackling and, you know,
I
talking
saw
about doing things. Yes.
And you had said that she's much bigger than the magazine photo, and I just thought you meant much more pregnant. But when I was watching the show, I thought, she looks like she's gained weight all over, right? Which pregnant women often do. But, I mean, she looked very pregnant and
there's
large.
A lot of her.
She's short, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and there's a lot of her, but I'm just saying she's talking about food and she's making noises. And, you know, I mean, what I'm saying is she's doing that Jenny McCarthy thing.
Right. I wonder, though, is this the same personality she's always had, but now that there's so much more of her, you just find it unattractive, whereas before it was kind of like Chrissy, Grease Company cute?
Here's what you can do. There's a great market for people that are marginally talented, and that market is putting on weight and then taking the weight off, and then talking to women and kind of going, ladies, you're not going to hear it from all these dainty chicks that are size zero, but I'm a real woman, and can we talk? And that's what they do, and then they come out with a clothing line, and they do the whole thing. Meanwhile, there's nothing there. Like Jenny McCarthy, there's nothing there. She's totally unfunny. Here's how you know Jenny McCarthy's an incredible hack. She wrote a movie, she directed a movie, she starred in a movie. It's called like Dirty Stinking Love or something. It's horrible. Yeah. It's a horrible movie. So when you write, direct, and star in something and it sucks, then you suck. She was like cackling and laughing and doing things. But there's always going to be a market for that. Ladies, I'm keeping it real and forget about all these pixies that don't eat. I like to eat for dinner.
So her
wait, when you write, direct, and star in something, you suck? Or just something that's not good, you suck?
I am tired of people who write, direct, and star and essentially create a movie, which is nothing more than a 90-minute calling card of how good is your idea, how good are you, how good is your writing, how well did you put it together, and that movie fucking sucks, but yet you still get to be funny somehow. That your mantle of funny doesn't go away.
She's always been telling us she's funny.
She's not.
From day one.
Jenny McCarthy?
No.
That's her thing.
She has a talk show coming out.
She's
a bitch. I can't stand her. I cannot stand her. I did her fucking charity, and she'd never do Loveline. I fucking went out to Canoga Park and did her fucking retarded candies charity for like 10 hours, and she was like, oh, Adam, I'm so thankful. I owe you. I owe you big time. And then she'd stiffed us every fucking time.
Why?
Because she's a bitch. What do you mean, why? She's not funny. She's not talented.
No.
She's
I'm saying
bitch.
I wonder why she wouldn't do Loveline.
Oh, no. She was supposed to. We sent the car, and she, like, never came out. She's just a hot blonde who gets her way and gets to do whatever the fuck she wants. Fuck her. She's getting old. No one's going to want to fuck her in another 3 years, and she's not talented.
And she's wrong about vaccines.
Yes, and she's wrong about everything. But she gets graded on a curve. She gets graded on the, you belched. Oh, I get it. You're a blonde chick with nice titties who belches. Now I got a boner. Fuck you. Try to say something funny. Saw your movie, baby. It sucked. It sucked. Thank you. Now you start sucking it. Shut up. Please.
I don't know who you're talking to anymore.
I can't stand the thing where it's like you're not funny, you're not interesting, you're not anything, but there's some sort of hook where you used to be fat and now you're skinny, mm-hmm. or you're blonde and you're cute, but you just you pass gas and you talk about it. Am I right, girls? I'm feeling, and it's just like, oh, shut up. You don't offer anything. You're not bringing anything to the party at all. It's just the anomaly of seeing a hot chick who's talking about breaking wind. Mm-hmm. Matt almost didn't beat off to that.
A little later.
Mm-hmm. HBO is canceling Luck after the third horse has died during production.
And that was Matt Paxton back in 2012. A little bit of news, too. A little time capsule. Remember when people went outside and things were happening out there?
We had lives.
Lives. All right. Well, we also
would have known 2012 was the great year, and 2020 is the apocalypse year.
Yeah, I think there was a math error
Yeah, they messed up.
Yeah. All right, let's get going with one last clip, and hopefully there are no math errors in this one, because it's a hard game to keep track of. Not really.
Not for the fans, but for the staff behind the glass
How
sometimes.
Dare you? Every once in a while. And I swear
it's not. There's less than a dozen examples. I'd say it's closer to four, but it's happened.
The last game that happened, Outbreak changed. Don't let me remind you. The score for Outbreak
that one
changed.
Count. That doesn't count.
Okay. Well, this is a milestone. We're going to play...
The only ones that count are like, oh, hold on. Let's... you go to the score. Everybody's like, what happened? And then you, Dawson, or Gary, or some combination of all three of you, then comes back and goes, okay, we have the updated score.
It sounds like something that Gary did, not me.
It did happen during the Gary era, yes.
All right, well, another...
I feel like I heard you in the booth, though, so you cannot play
him. No, I don't know what you're talking about. Look, Gio, I mean, I don't mean to get stereotypical here, but math is kind of my thing. All right.
Is
we
it?
Have a milestone here.
Though?
50th installment of the Rotten Tomatoes game.
This is from Adam Carolla Show 1612. This episode had everybody on it. It's like a smorgasbord of people. Mario Andretti, Mark Duplass, Patrick Bryce, Matt Atchity, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop. This is just Atchity, Gina, Brian, and Adam. This is from July of 2015. It's the very next game after William Shatner, the very last one he played. 50th installment. This one's themed around Minions. I don't even know how that can be a theme, but let's find out.
All right, let's hear the theme song, man.
Here's the guy with the fresh and rotten movie game. Now it's time, I really hope it isn't lame. Please let's go. I totally can't hit this note. I can't falsetto anymore. It hurts my balls. Atchity. He names the flicks and the gang makes flicks. Mad Atchity. He's a schlubby guy and when he drops by the gang has to guess. Do the critics scores make it rotten or fresh?
It's like the Champions Edition.
All right. All right, here we go.
All right, so the movie that's going to be number one at the box office this weekend is Minions. And I know, Adam, that may not be a movie that you're excited to see, but I imagine your kids are, and mm-hmm. so you might have to sit through it at some point.
Yeah, I can't...
That's one for my time?
I can't... It's not... Is it Pixar or Disney?
No, it is Universal Pictures. It's a spinoff of the Despicable Me...
It smells of less than Pixar to me. Like, to me, the Pixar stuff is so amazing that there's no reason mm-hmm. to see the other stuff. But if you're a kid, you have to be entertained all the time, so I get it.
And those little guys are just talking in tongues, right? That's like weird religious, like speaking in tongues.
Yeah, there's a little bit of Spanish thrown in there. It's pidgin English, right? Yeah, it's kind of pidgin English. So the Minions are the little yellow guys that were working for Steve Carell's character in the first two films, and now they have their own movie with an all-star cast, and so I'm using that as the theme for today's game.
Good times.
So first up, Sandra Bullock plays a character named Scarlett Overkill in this. Got one of her big movies that really cemented her as a star a few years back, in 2000. She plays an FBI agent who has to go to a beauty pageant in Miss Congeniality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they made a two out of this one, right?
They did. William Shatner and Candace Bergen?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think people liked it. I don't think critics loved it. Couldn't be. I mean, critics like Sandra Bullock a lot. Like, right? She's probably because she's good, number one. She's attractive, but in a non-threatening way to women. Women sign off on her physicality.
Yes.
They go,
just pretty enough.
I'm okay with you being attracted to her. I'm not. Sure. And then there's others you're not supposed to be attracted
Jennifer
to.
Jennifer Love Hewitt does not get the same same level of.
But there's a weird thing that women have. It's kind of a weird thing. Guys don't really have that. Like when we see the guys from Magic Mike and the chicks are into the guys from Magic Mike, we go, we get it.
Yeah, obviously.
Fine.
Sense.
He looks great. But women have this thing where it's like, oh, come on, versus, yeah, she'd be fun to be my sister-in-law. Yeah. Sandy Bullock gets that. Seems to be, call her Sandy? So call her Sandy. She also seems to be one of these people who seems to be a genuinely nice person that sort of pushes through or bleeds through her performances.
Yeah,
she people seems like her.
Decent and well-adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
Although she was with Jesse James for a while, right?
Yes.
Like, that's kind of a weird dark side for her.
I think
she's rebelling. Was rebelling.
I don't know.
She speaks German.
I don't know that there's a woman alive, whether they admit it or not, that doesn't hear that motorcycle rev a little bit, see the bad boy dude, and get just a little moist. Like, no matter who they say they are, how refined, or how much they say, you know, oh, the smelly guys and their ways and their barroom brawls and they're settling arguments with their fists and stuff like that. Just for that 10 seconds when they hear that bike, that hog just sort of rev up a little bit. It's in them.
Eight pussies.
It's in them. All right. Let's see. I'm going to say that the critics were decent to it, but not great just for the kind of big budget thing it was. It also was one of those movies that may have had the name before it actually had the script. And I'm going to say, 71, just because Sandy Bullock's in it.
I said 73, and I think I might be low. This is actually a pretty good movie.
42.
Ooh.
What? This is a good movie.
Yeah, but this is big. This is sort of big budget comedy, which I don't. Critics tough on these.
I'm genuinely surprised. This was not a bad movie at all. Maybe a little formulaic, predictable, but not bad. 42%.
I would say formulaic with the hook. Title with the big campaign behind it, comedy is not good for the critics.
Yeah. Shit. All right.
All right.
Well, at least we're close.
Yes.
All right. Next up, John Hamm also appears in Minions as the husband to her character. His name is Herb Overkill. And he also appeared in Bridesmaids. He was Kristen Wiig's kind of friend with benefits early on.
Oh, yes, right.
He was
right.
The guy that she was screwing. Right. And anyway, he makes an appearance. And the problem is I've used a bunch of other John Hamm movies in the game.
All right. Critics should love this. Mm-hmm. I think they did. Now, this is the sort of the opposite of the Bullock movie. This is snuck up on people, got a lot of empowerment to it. And
a lot of stars before they were stars.
Yeah, I'm going to say the critics have this one at 93.
I hope I'm closer. I said 79.
90.
Fuck.
Yeah, I know. The critics. Now, see, you're a little more in line.
I agree with you in terms of my personal opinions, but I thought it was too body, too much poop and too much all that stuff. But
you have to understand the way critics think, which is if it's girl power, you can add 15 or 20%.
Okay.
Depending, a lot of it is the topic and what's going on, not the bodiness or whatever. Yes, if this
but
is a bunch
logic,
of
Miss Congeniality would have been higher.
No, because that's formulaic and one chick, and she's already established.
Okay,
and it's 10 years earlier
as a star. Look, this is basically like all right, you like old school, right?
Of course.
All right, old school's got a much lower critical score than this.
Of course.
Why?
Yeah, because it's guys going back
it's
to
a bunch of
dudes.
It's a bunch
stuff.
Of dudes being bought.
Yeah.
Not empowering for chicks to shit in sinks.
Glad to see it's at 90%. It's a great movie.
But the people have it. Now, if you look at the old school people, the audience score versus Bridesmaids, you'll see.
Might be inverse.
That's right.
Okay.
That's how it works.
All right. Next up, another voice performance in Minions from the great Michael Keaton. I'm going to go with a 1980 movie or 1989 movie that ushered in a new era of superhero movies, the original Batman.
The original.
Well, maybe not the original Adam West, but
Was Keaton the first Batman after they dusted it off?
Yep,
he was for the first two movies.
Wow.
Yeah, when the fanboys were incensed at the casting.
They hated it.
Even for the second one.
No, the initial one was announced. They hated
Everything that's announced.
True.
If someone announced to fanboys, your cock just got 6 millimeters wider.
That's not true to the original property.
Yeah.
Dear Internet, I am furious.
Exactly.
No, like, seriously, there is
expansion ever.
Human being, if there was an actual Batman and you cast him as Batman, they would be incensed over it. And then they all come around.
Bruce Wayne as Batman. How dare you? Tim Burton destroying my childhood.
Right. And then at a certain point, they like the guy. And then at a certain point, they announce the new guy. And then they get all fucking their panties in a bunch once
again. Val Kilmer's going to be Batman.
New guy is no Michael Keaton.
Right.
He becomes that thing.
All right. Oh, so the first one, boy, I have no idea. I really have no idea.
I think the one that has Jack Nicholson as the Joker. Hmm. It's directed by Tim Burton.
Yeah, I think people looked at it as kind of the new Batman. And
this was very important to an 11-year-old balding Brian. So I'm impossible being objective.
I have no idea. I'm going back to 71.
I said 80 because I think there might be a few newer reviews in there. So I said 80.
Adam, I am constantly impressed by your wild-ass guesses. 72.
Whoa! Yeah. Well, it's like it was a good movie, I guess, but it's I don't know. It's back before these kind of movies were being taken seriously.
I agree.
All right, here we go.
All right, next up, Jeffrey Rush serves as the narrator in Minions, and one of his more recent iconic roles is as a language therapist, a speaking therapist in The King's Speech.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, was nominated, right?
Best picture.
So did not see the whole thing.
Did this fucking thing win Best Picture?
Yes, it did.
Oh, fuck.
You didn't like it that much?
I hate it.
Really?
I recognize that it's a good movie, but I dislike the fact that it didn't take any chances. It was very soft around the edges, and it was everything the Academy's supposed to love, and it was just bleh.
So it was like you recognize it as
extremely safe.
It's good, but it just didn't hold your interest.
It's a good. It was just too safe, too milquetoast, too soft, too rounded edges.
Okay, but the kind of thing critics are gonna give a
or do they?
Mm. Okay, 89 says the critics.
94.
Whoa! Oh shit!
I needed those 5 points.
Those fucking 5 points.
I needed those.
Well, not only did he get the 5 points
deduct,
but I mean the 5 points between us. Right, but now the extra five.
It's
wow!
A 10-point swing.
Now I was going into the fifth round with a comfortable maybe 10 or 12 point lead, and now it's all knotted up. Fuck!
That was
all
awesome.
Right, here we go.
All right,
I love The King's Speech.
Last one, based on the character that started this whole franchise, Gru, voiced by Steve Carell, who may or may not make an appearance. Won't spoil Minions for you. But he did a movie in 2013 where he plays a magician with Jim Carrey.
This just came up 2 days ago.
Burt Wonderstone.
Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
All right. We know it's going to be low. And sometimes you do that move where you go, and I burn myself both directions on this one, where I go, yeah, it's low, man, like 35, 37%. And then you check in, it's like 9%. Uh-huh. And then there's a part of you that goes, of course. Why would 35% of the people like this? It's that bad. Brian and I got to be really close
here.
So
your strategy of going big does not come in. You want to try and get as close as possible.
Well, I feel like I'm clinging to maybe a half point lead at this point.
Yeah.
Or it's tied up. But either way, I'm not going big or small here. I'm trying to nail it. This is the kind of film that I'll watch just because Steve Carell's in it, and why the fuck not? It spoiler alert. It was one of those movies that sort of pecked along, had some. You know, first off, okay, I get the idea. Like, the idea was fine. You know, this guy's a washed-up, you know, Vegas magician with a sidekick and too much tanning cream on and all that kind of stuff. And it sort of moved along, and it had James Gandolfini and even Jay Moore popped up in it and stuff like that. And there wasn't a lot going on, but it's Steve Carell in a crazy outfit, and he's making it funny.
Yeah.
And it was fine, and then it got to the very end where they were going to resolve everything.
Right.
And the big trick was, we're going to put the whole audience out with gas. We're going to pump gas into the theater, and then we're going to pick up every limp corpse and drag them out to the middle of the desert.
And then when they come to, they'll be in the middle of the desert. It'll be the greatest illusion ever. Times how many shows a week?
Right. How many people do you lose because they have a bad reaction to the anesthesia?
They're like piling bodies up in the back of a cube truck and pulling them out in the middle of Henderson County and dropping them off on a patch of land. It's like people wouldn't, again, yes, I don't know how many people go to anaphylactic shock after being put under. How many people would just fall over and hit their head and have like contusions and swelling of the brain? Like, it was like one of these things where, you know, and I know people go, look, it's a comedy. It's a broad comedy. Come on. And it's like, I'm there, but you're asking me to go along on this ride.
You take me thus far.
You brought in Jim Carrey. He's the edgy illusionist. Mm-hmm. You're doing all these. There's a love story woven in here. Like, okay, I'm sort of with you. Now, how do we resolve this? And it's like, it times nine shows a week, we're going to pass everyone out, drag them out to the middle of the desert.
And did
a lot of overhead for that show.
Right. And did Joe Pesci and Casino consult on how that trick was going to work? Like, oh, yeah, we're going to knock him out and take him to the desert. Mm.
It's just like so those things where you kind of, I could enjoy it, and then the end. All right, let's see. Andretti's calling in any minute now. So I'm just going to say, I've been getting my ass handed to me in this game, and I don't like this trend of jumping out to a lead and then watching it all fall apart in the fourth quarter.
Prevent defense, man. Prevents winning.
Jim Carrey did some kind of fun stuff in this movie.
This is one of the first movies I reviewed for Baldywood, and I remember thinking, it's bad, but it's not horrible, and I don't understand why people are so against it. It wasn't a great movie, but it wasn't. There's a couple of laughs.
All right.
Or are there?
19%.
I said 19%!
Oh, shit!
I said 19%. Mm. So whatever the score was going in.
You were killing me when you said 35, 37, because it's 36%.
Mm.
I said 19 also.
Wow, this is a very this is a crazy score in the sense that on a movie like this, critics at 36, almost for sure the audience will be 61, 62.
Just because the star is involved.
And just because it's big and shiny and things are moving around and they're bass. You know what I mean? Like, this is audience 33, and in a movie like this, Matt Atchity, only speak if you agree, but a movie like this, this kind of movie, like we all get it with the Merchant Ivory stuff where the critics have it up here, or the aforementioned King's Speech, which maybe the people don't appreciate as much as the audience, but this kind of movie for the... If you told me the audience is at 33%, now guess the critics, I'd be like, we're single digits.
Now we're
single digits. This is very rare that the critics are higher than the audience in this one.
I agree. And collectively, it's Jim Carrey, and it's Steve Buscemi, and it's Alan Arkin, and Jim Carrey, Steve Carell. This movie should be much funnier than it is.
All right. We both guessed 19%. Which means that fucking hit on the button 5% bonus thing that I somehow enacted, insanely enacted some weeks ago, may have come back
by your own petard.
And bit me in the ass.
Oh,
Adam 55, so Brian 62.
Well done.
All right, so finally a victory here. Matt Atchity, everyone. Rotten Tomatoes game can be played here on Wednesdays if you listen in. And also go to RottenTomatoes.com. Get all the information and listen to the podcast and Rotten Tomatoes podcast. Episodes Monday and Friday on iTunes and, I guess, again, website Rotten Tomatoes. We play it on Wednesday.
And that's how Minions could become a theme for the Rotten Tomatoes game. The
50th I'm unconvinced.
One, back in 2015. All right, that'll do it for Cruel Classics. Want to remind everybody once again that right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and...
RV insurance.
That's right. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? The time is now. Head over to geico.com. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save that extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. All right, Cruel Classics returns tomorrow. So make sure to subscribe to the Cruel Classics feed to get that podcast. We'll see you there. My name is Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
We've got more clips tomorrow. Mahalo and get it on.